My half-brother used to be a methamphetamine addict. One time we went to his house, and he lived on the second floor of an apartment complex in Vista, which is known as the meth capital of the United States at the time. And the first thing I saw when I walked in the door was a bunch of newspapers, about an entire Sunday's papers worth of newspapers across the floor, and then an entire transmission of a vehicle, greased up. All on the newspaper so it could be worked on. So after this, he starts to show us around the place. He was pretty proud of his apartment, and we go into one of the bedrooms, and there's this big rug in the middle of the floor. We're like, what's this rug about? And he grabbed it by the end, whipped it right off. There's a massive hole in the floor. Giant fucking manhole. And this was the second story, remember? And you look down it, and you see the top of a car, and you see a bunch of tools and stuff. And what he had figured out was that the garage that comes with the apartment rental was located around the back of the building, but directly beneath one of the bedrooms. And he didn't like having to go down the stairs and go around and open the garage door in the middle of the night when he was tweaking and wanted to work on something. So he got it. I don't know what it was, a big sledgehammer and some tools, and he busted himself a hole. But the thing was, he was proud of it, and he thought it was just like, you know, I mean, we should be like praising his gumption. And so the first thing he jumps down, and I was there with my dad too. I was in high school at the time, and he jumps down and goes, come on down. So we go down, and we take a look at all the stuff, and then we're supposed to like, how are we getting back up? And he's like, oh, and he pulls the toolbox over, and you jump on this, you get back up.
It's a platformer.
Hello and welcome to GFW Radio. I thought that's where you were going with that it was a platform game.
The moral of the story is
jumping puzzle.
When you rent an apartment, it's a good thing to find out where your garage is at.
And then drill a hole.
Yeah, I guess the landlord never looked under the rug or stepped on the rug.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you just fall through?
But why not a ladder, you know? A guy with tools usually has a ladder.
I don't know, man.
Because when you're tweaking, you got all that extra energy.
But that, I swear, that none of that story is bullshit at all.
I thought you were going to say, like, also that there was, like, a hole in the roof of his car. So then he could just, like, jump in and drive off. Batmobile kind of.
It's like Voltron.
Let's go!
He goes down the tube into the.
Let's improve your story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Add
See, that's
that
the problem with the truth.
Time.
It's just not good enough.
That's too
believable.
It would
have been a good enough story for me if it ended at the transmission in the living room.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, it was a lot of heavy stuff.
Could he actually get it back together, or could he only take it apart?
I doubt he could, because this whole thing was my dad was trying to like rehabilitate him and get him off of it, and so he off the meth, that is. And so my dad was always into muscle cars, like Mopar cars and stuff, and he had a 70 Dodge Challenger, so he got my brother like a 70 Camaro or something that he got cheap, and he painted it up for him, and he's like, all right, we're gonna take this down to the quarter mile, and this is like gonna be what we do. And this is going to get you straight. But instead, he would go down there with his crankster wife. I'm sorry. I know he's not listening. Otherwise, I wouldn't be telling the story. He'd beat my ass. But so they'd go down to the track. And the whole time, like, my dad would be racing or something. The whole time, like, they would just be pulling out the fucking wiring from the dashboard and all kinds of shit. And the car would never run. They would always, my dad would ever get it running, he'd make sure it didn't run by... figured out he knew how to make magic.
Wow.
Now you're going to get a call and your brother's going to be like, Sean, I listen to the radio show every week. It's been my connection
it
to
was
you
a long,
for all these years.
This was a long, long time ago, and he'd been straight for years and years, living a very, very
We're gonna send
good
him
life.
Right, so, back.
Yeah. this chucked us up to the sins of youth.
Okay.
Right. Which is what we're all about here.
Yeah.
At this podcast.
A celebration
at GFW Radio, which is neither GFW nor radio.
Nor radio.
Discuss.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be talking about GFW in a moment. The initiative. But we haven't even said, like, who we are.
Your tone was so sinister.
Yeah.
Let's start right there.
Oh, we'll be talking about it. To my left is Ryan Scott. I'm Jeff Green, editor-in-chief of the PC games section of 1UP.com. Still getting used to saying all that. Next to me is Ryan Scott. Hey, Ryan.
Not even a what the hell.
Yes. Okay.
Ryan's
talking to you. Oh, there he is. Shit. He's ruined it already. Ryan, we didn't think Ryan was going to show up. Hey, Ryan. I was just introducing you.
We're going to play a gag.
We are going to do a gag in which you were actually not here.
Get your seat, Ryan.
But now he really is here. Great. You ruined it.
Yeah.
Hold on. We won't edit this.
Well, go around the room while he puts his...
While Ryan's putting his headset on, next to him is
Anthony Gallegos.
Check, 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 check. Hi.
There's Ryan.
Stop interrupting.
This is the worst intro ever.
Wow, I'm the sixth chair today.
Sixth chair, yeah.
Man, so you're high energy. I think you've been in the bathroom doing lines.
Probably tweaking.
Don't tell people.
We got this thing we decided at lunch we want because our bathroom is so dirty. Actually, matter of fact, last week, Anthony was in there, and someone had taken such a monstrous shit that it clogged the thing up. He used his iPhone to get a picture of it.
Ew.
And then showed me, and I was upset too because it was like if you had to go in there and it was your time, there was nothing to do. And so I sent this to all the men on the floor.
Was this in the handicapped one? Or the
Yeah.
This wasn't. Yeah, and I tricked it out with tinypick.com. They let you put effects on it. So I had like these starbursts and stuff flying up out
Wait,
of
did
the
they not flush the toilet?
No, the thing was is that someone tried to flush it and it got even worse. It just exploded everywhere.
So I sent that around looking for a culprit. No one fessed up to it. But then what we decided today at lunch was that sometimes like a dairy cooler or a meat cooler at a grocery store will have like these enormous and heavy plastic flaps, and they overlap one another, and you kind of like brush through those to get into the cooler. I want our bathroom door to have one of those made of wet naps.
So we never find out who did it.
Maybe it's our fourth person we're going to introduce.
Sixth chair.
Robert Ashley.
Yeah. Robert Ashley, who's drinking.
Like I'm showing up at the DMV.
Robert Ashley.
I swear it called.
Robert Ashley's drinking Indiana Jones drink today.
It's Dr. Pepper.
Awesome.
But yeah, it does have a lot of Indiana Jones. I'm so excited to actually be able to get a Dr. Pepper in the machine here, which
I think
was
he tastes
never
like Dr.
around.
Pepper.
Tastes like Dr. Pepper.
All right.
But with corn syrup instead of sugar.
I read in an AP article yesterday where some archaeologists were claiming that Indiana Jones's methods are not realistic.
Do you contest
that? Was
this
posted by Ryan Scott?
Do you contest
San Francisco?
That?
No. A real archaeologist tries not to trigger the Volder trap.
That was a news article.
Yeah, it was like an AP news article. And they were talking about how, you know, real archaeological digs are like boring.
Nobody commented on the news article I sent around. It was similar. It was about the high school kids who had gotten stoned and then went to a graveyard and
that was old and then what
it was
and they, yeah but go sorry
they dug up a corpse and then they used the skull. To make a bong and then they smoked out of it.
This corpse
sent it to all of the Ziff Davis staff and nobody was
over 80 years old.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, I read it and I was like, oh my god.
Did you just say that was similar to the AP making Indiana Jones?
Yeah, well, similar to an archaeological dig.
That's how
I was relating it.
I just wish I could.
It was about as archaeological as Indiana Jones then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just wish I could have heard the conversation leading up to them going to the graveyard, digging up a body and making
That's my whole thing. What's the last thing you would want to do when you were stoned? You would think.
I know.
Go to a graveyard.
Dude, that's such a good idea.
All that work.
They must have been drunk.
The worms get you 16% higher.
I don't know. It just seems like a lot of work and just kind of a bummer.
Yeah.
You know? Kind of. Mm.
There might be some THC left in that guy's brain.
Oh. Brain resin.
All right. This is a horrible podcast. We've already talked about taking dumps.
We're about 8 minutes in.
So I can finish it up. I didn't
Robert Ashley's
heads.
No, I did it. I did it. Now it's Sean.
I'm Sean Elliott. Another thing for wanted to let our Southern California listeners know, maybe those in San Diego County, is that if you see Datsun 280Zs, the 80s models, know that whoever's driving is addicted to crystal meth, and that the codes for these vehicles, you can call them either a crystal caravan, a meth mobile, a shit sled, which is shit is slang for crank, tweak, chicken, a burner bonzo. What else? Anyway, yeah, keep an eye out for these vehicles, and I'm going to pass the mic right now.
And Sean Malloy.
And Sean, why don't you tell the folks at home what you're holding in your hands?
Let's get the thank yous out of the way now. I'm holding the first and only GFW Radio bumper sticker.
Very nicely done.
Terrence
Stas? Might be
Stas or Stasa.
Stasse.
Very, very coolly made for us, and it's got like all of us. It's got Anthony on there, and because I'm assuming you couldn't find a picture of Robert Ashley, aka Bobito Max Chill. He has Dr. Maximum Chill, which is on top of the Trauma Center. Is that the name of that game?
Yes, drums under the knife.
And then he's also got Max Chill, Ace Attorney, Berkeley and Code Pink, it says. I just caught that. And then there's like a bunch of utterances all like radiating
there's
out
a lot
from
going
GFW
on in
Radio.
Yeah, there really is.
So this
it's really well done.
That was super cool. Yeah, we
thank
passed
you
that
very
around
much.
To everyone today. Then I had to thank Davin Lowe, who out of the blue, I get a box, and he sent me the War DVD box set. I talked about wanting Ken Burns' DVD documentary series and how it being too expensive for my taste at Best Buy. Apparently, he found it on sale on eBay for $19 bucks and hooked me up, which is super cool
holy
of him.
Crap. We need
and
to then, close down more often.
Yeah,
we're getting a lot of cool gifts.
And then yeah.
The only thing is the fourth disc of that set is him masturbating to GFW Radio and calling out to you.
That's just not... That wasn't
this was
necessary.
This was a good gift.
This was a nice gift.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. Oh,
even Sean smearing. Sean
you'll find out when you get to that disc.
I got
to
get home, guys. And then the other thank you goes to Gaming Age Forum's codename Gowans 007. He sent it. I wasn't here when you opened it.
Oh, right.
But he sent like an awesome box of snacks and what our friends
that was the asbestos
the United
candy,
Kingdom
yes.
call sweets and we call candy. And there was mm-hmm. some awesome stuff in there that was good.
Did you eat all that?
It's almost all gone. Not on my own. I let everyone would come in the office and grab stuff. So like Anthony would, you got quite a bit of that. But that was really good too. I like the International Candy Club. I mean, I got to reciprocate if there's some a foreign listener, foreign to us. That is, I mean, if you live some other country,
if you're a foreigner,
want some
foreign
other,
is relative.
Yeah, of course. If you want some American candy, I'll hook you up. But it's like every time I go to another country, like the first thing I do, it's so sad, so American. But I go to the snack shop and I just like. Whatever, like,
well, at least you don't go to the McDonald's first.
So it's like, I feel like I just got out of the airport when this box
is home.
I just hate going to Europe and seeing Americans in the McDonald's. Just pisses me off.
I don't do that.
Get out of there. Eat some food from the country you're in.
That is
so amazing.
Or eat
so
some good
so
food
scary.
From America. Why do we have to
at least go to Arby's?
No,
just in general, it's fucked up to do that. Yeah.
McDonald's does special foods for the countries they're in.
They do.
I would probably
you can
be
get
a
beer
sissy.
In a couple of the countries.
You can get like lamb burger when you're in Scotland.
Yeah, and like in Japan, the burgers, you can get them with eggs on top of them. And
ew.
In Germany, when I was there, I saw like the big ads. The McDonald's had a bunch of like Indian food, like you had curry burgers and
that's
stuff.
That's where you can get beer too in the German McDonald's.
Yeah. But that was such a waste. You know, when I last went there and Melissa was like, oh God, I'm going to starve. I heard like we're going to be like 30 pounds lighter when we go. And I was like, why? Like, you think it's just all head cheese and stuff? And then, like, Robert, you talked her down, which was good, before we went. You were like, they have delicious food. And, of course, they did. It was fantastic.
In Germany?
Yeah,
oh,
German
yeah.
food
of course
is
they
incredible.
Do.
Yeah, I love
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Anyway. Here we are.
There's our thank yous.
Thank you. Thanks. Thank you to everybody who's been sending us nice stuff. And the nice emails. Keep pouring in. They
That's
do.
True.
I don't have any to read here. I forgot. But, yeah, they're... But
if you sent us a nice email, thanks.
We thank you. We if are you reading them, and we thank
screw you.
You.
Hey, wait, I have somebody to thank, actually.
Yeah, Ryan.
I had forgotten to do it on last week's podcast, but thank you to Double Vision, who's the guy who runs 1UP's Team Fortress 2 server, for going especially out of his way to help me get a bunch of medic achievements. The guy was exceedingly patient with me.
Oh,
so thank
well.
You.
What did he do? What's it like to have a banana rider?
Pretty awesome. I got like 37 medic achievements.
Are you done yet? Did you get them all?
No, I have one.
Okay.
Is it killing you?
And it's like an impossible one.
Are you up late at night, like cringing that you don't have it still? Do you wake up at like 3 going, fuck!
I think about it every now and then. No, yeah. I don't do that.
All right.
Did you get the weapons, the special stuff? Or?
There's only one weapon I'm missing. I have to get all the achievements to get the last weapon, which is like the one weapon you would want on all the time, the Uber Saw. Yeah.
So are you going to, I mean, when you're done with it, you're still going to play it, right? Like you spent like so much time getting the achievements so you can get the fancy weapons. You're going to use those fancy weapons
assume
and actually play
hell
nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
You
right.
No, you're
right.
Not.
Yes, I am.
Yes,
I bet.
I believe him.
I don't believe him.
Be
I believe
awesome.
Him. Well, report back.
Yeah, we want to hear.
So this week.
And we can check because of Steam.
This week was loaded with press events.
Yeah, which is why we're a day late, by the way. So if you're upset that we were off by a day, it's because we've been hustling back and forth between these dumbasses.
We're actually not off by a day. I'm going to post this tonight.
You are?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's good.
So I say, good man, Sean Malone.
Unless I didn't, then what Jeff said is true.
Huh?
What I was going to suggest is that we just go through some of the events this week chronologically, because I know that only
some are still
Anthony
embargoed.
And I, and Sean only went to one.
Right.
And then you've been hitting them
I went to a few.
So Monday was EA's Spring Showcase.
Which I have to say, first, I thought they had a really impressive PC lineup there. Surprisingly impressive.
Many PC-exclusive games. Or
big props to EA this year.
They win the PC game. So far this week, they do win.
They had a great lineup of PC stuff. Yeah,
one of them was entirely new IP. Another was like a sequel to, they won't call Battlefield Heroes a sequel, but another installment in a very popular PC series. New MMO is always daring. And then bringing Mass Effect over from Xbox to PC was cool. To games for Windows,
right? And making they made a pretty good case for Mass Effect on the PC too. Sean Malloy and I sat and talked to we stood and talked to Ray Muzyka, who I don't know when that interview is going to go up. Actually, is it going to be after this podcast?
I was supposed to email Rob, the guy who filmed it and is editing it. Ray's name, and I forgot. So maybe it'll never go up now.
Well, it'll go up. Maybe you'll see it on 1UP or not, but he talked a lot about it, and he actually had me convinced to try it. And, of course, there was the news this week. There was first the bad news about the copy protection, and then the better news that they said, never mind, after they got – there was a shitstorm of protest.
That's for the BioWare game. Is that true for Spore as well? Because I know that they had said that Spore was going to – used the same thing.
I had heard it was true for Spore that it was they're going back on it, but I don't have confirmation.
It's still
from
early
Will
on
Wright
Spore
or anything. Yeah,
right. Spore's still a ways off, and my early prediction will be they'll do the same thing as BioWare, because obviously this is not popular.
That was a pretty fast reaction too.
They reacted in 24 hours, 48 hours.
How did the proposed system work? Did you actually have to put in that 20 digit code on a weekly basis?
I think it was
10 days.
I think it was 10. Every 10 days I had to verify that you still had the CD, you had to play with it.
I think it was automatic.
That's pretty reasonable to me.
It didn't freak me out either
much. But people always freak out about anything that has to do with that secure ROM thing.
This is a better solution anyway, what they came up with.
What is it?
It's a one-time online validation, and then you're done.
Yeah.
Right, which is more standard.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, I wasn't necessarily going, oh my god, this is the end of the world.
But, yeah,
I think I'm a little more willing to accept copy protection schemes than some people.
Right.
But
yeah.
So yeah.
So yeah. So let's talk about some of the other other games we saw. Yeah.
Did you? So, what am I gonna say? Let's hit some non PC stuff that was there to fuck it all up. Actually, no. My justification was I was talking to Robert about Skate It for the Nintendo Wii. So I was like, I'm thinking about this first segment of the show and making sure everyone in here's got something to say. And I was like, Robert didn't go to the event. But you are a fan of Skate. So yes. they showed the Nintendo DS and Wii versions of the game sequels or whatever, and it's called Skate It. The thing that looked interesting to me, DS version not so much, but the Wii thing, it looked cool enough where they had you doing the tricks by moving the Wiimote in different ways, but the balance board was kind of interesting. And even though they were anticipating the concerns and saying this isn't actually rubbing your stomach and patting your head, this being standing on the board, leaning left and right to turn, back and forward to go up on your tail or your nose, but then using the Wiimote and spinning it in your hand and twisting it and jerking it at the same time to do the tricks, being a weird disconnect between feet and hands. But when I watched that, I was like, I wanted a wakeboarding game again, and this would be perfect. You just hold the Wiimote like a leash. And I say this because the EA's wakeboarding game that they put out in the tail end of it was the middle of the Xbox and PS2's life cycle was so awesome. That was the last game you'd imagine me liking. And I played it and I got really into it, I wanted to see that.
Wasn't that an Activision game, though?
Oh, it was. My bad. It was Activision, yeah.
Wasn't that an Activision game?
Yeah, I think you got that wrong. The thing with the Wiimote and the balance board was it almost seemed harder than actually just skating.
Right.
Watching him do that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they admitted that they had, just started implementing this.
Yes, it was super early. They'd only had the balance board for, a couple weeks or a few weeks?
Yeah. But if they could work it out where you're able to just use nothing but the balance board,
That'd be great.
The problem is those games have so many tricks.
Yeah.
To finding a way to bullshit it. Like, you know, remember the old arcade game Top Skater? It was fun. You actually stood on the board and it had the two rails. And the way that they did it is they basically just bullshitted the trick system when you're in the air. But, I mean, that would be fun. Even if they had just that. That would be pretty fun.
Well, Skate already has sort of a simplified system. Like, it's not as crazy as Tony Hawk. You can do a lot of tricks, but a lot of them are sort of technicalities. It's like, oh, you did a kick flip backwards. You know, it's pretty simplified, sort of like real skateboarding.
So turning we think like turning jazz hands into a skateboard trick, which is like that's got to offend a skateboarder or two somewhere.
Yeah, you got to feel like you're feel cool, you know, on the thing. Yeah.
Sorry, I just spazzed out.
No, it's okay. I always wish
did my hands in Robert's face like I was doing tricks.
You did do tricks. That I always wish for these like new sort of alternative control schemes. Like I hope that like eventually they'll have a little more, you know, depth and precision. You know, playing the Wii is cool, but I always wonder like 5 or 10 years, is there going to be some way that really lets you do a lot of different things with motion and
control? Well, I'll talk out of turn, but because it's not related to this event. But this week I've been playing Lost Winds, which is one of the WiiWare launch games, and my review will be up as soon as I actually write it, but it's a really good implementation of the Wii remote, like one of the best I've seen yet. And it's not doing anything revolutionary yet, except it's using it very judiciously and smartly in a way that's not like too cute or too gimmicky. But it's a matter of like manipulating the wind by waving the thing, and then variations on
Lost
that.
Wind is, and you're basically fanning farts.
Yeah, it's the joke waiting to be told. Yes,
that's cool.
Now
that's
it has been.
That's okay. And now it has been. Yeah.
What's that Lost Wind?
Bart? Yeah, I heard good things about that. I'd like to play.
Yeah,
that.
But yeah, it's not an alternative thing like you're talking about, but it's a really good use of it.
Yeah, yeah.
So, anyway,
I like that. Sorry, right, we can move on. Someone else can hit up another game in the lineup.
Let's talk about Battleforge.
Let's do.
Did we all see that? Do you know what it is?
I don't know what that is at all. What is that?
Battleforge.
Let's break it down.
Sean Molloy, could you break it down?
Sure, I could do that. It's an RTS, real-time strategy game, where you kind of have a Magic the Gathering-style deck that you draw from to bring units onto the field. And they actually want you to... This is the thing.
It's online only.
And you actually, it comes with like a pre-made deck or a slightly randomized deck, quote unquote, in the game itself. But then you have to buy booster packs. So like, just like Magic the Gathering, your potential army depends on the virtual card you have.
Yeah, they kind of glossed over that during the demo part.
We had to extract that from them later.
Yeah.
When you're playing, the way it looks is if you imagine your spell bar on the bottom of any like MMO that you're used to, or even an RTS, your commander powers or things like that. Mm-hmm. And instead of a power, each there's an icon that represents one of the cards. And then you basically drag it from that bar and throw it onto the field. And then if it's a card for, say, like a giant warrior, he'll then materialize from the card. Yeah. Maybe it's a spell. You throw the actual card in the area that you want, the thunderstorm
And you need to capture a control point similar to Company of Heroes to sort of expand your territory. And those territories power up the cards.
Right, and those control points also give you the resource, which is
that's
orbs.
What I meant, yeah.
And the other twist is that it's the 12-player cooperative campaign.
It's all co-op. Well, there actually is PvP, right?
Yeah, there is.
But their main emphasis is that you'll be playing with others against the AI in a campaign-long series of battles.
Yeah.
So
the section they demonstrated looked cool. They only had two people playing. But it was nice to see, you know, one the players would take a route that was high ground, and then another player might route through a valley, and they'd meet up, and then the player on the high ground would use his arrows and, you know, long-range attacks to set up an ambush, and then the other player's infantry would then march through the plain and fight the enemy in there. And that kind of stuff seemed pretty cool to me. It's always hard to see, like, some RTSs, when you just see a bunch of units doing stuff and you don't really get a sense of how anything's shaking out, is it just this unit's more powerful, it's going to win? This is the other thing, the fear of microing. You know, when they're doing the demonstration, they're like, there's no micromanagement or anything. But for me, it's like, that's where the fun is. It means that you're not just throwing like a blob of units at another and then knowing that like, well, I have better stats, I'm going to win. Now I just basically watch some stuff happen, you know.
Right. When you look at the cards, they do have little descriptions like this guy is good at tearing down walls or something like that. So there seems to be some...
Right. There seems to be some element of which cards do I play at what time to counter the other units or to counter the environment or whatever.
Why cards? You know what I mean? I mean, I know card games are cool or whatever, but what's the difference between cards and just saying it's an RTS where you just buy units?
My guess is it's just the probably just to get people used to the idea that they're going to be purchasing something extra.
Collecting cards is like...
Yeah. I mean, to me, like collecting fake virtual cards without an actual card is a leap I'm not ready to take.
Yeah.
Even though I don't necessarily want a bunch of paper cards cluttering up that don't really do anything.
It depends how much they charge for them, though, in my opinion. Just like I was telling Sean that if they made like a virtual Warhammer where I could buy fake models, but they were like one-third the price and I could play online, I would totally do it, even if I never owned those models.
Yeah, those cards, you know, I don't know how companies like this deal with like the Magic the Gathering license, because this thing looks exactly like a Magic card. So I don't know. I guess Magic doesn't...
Like the World of Warcraft
card. Right, I guess
yeah,
nobody has a copyright on that thing. But to me, like as someone who played Magic a long time ago, like this looked like the best implementation of like a Magic-style card-playing game on the PC, like way better than the Magic the Gathering games themselves.
I guess it's supposed to kind
of... So if you like that kind of game, cards were cool, I thought.
I was just going to say, I guess, and that and, you know... It's like beats like sitting at a gathering and like being like, I play my red orc.
Right. Well,
and that's it. There's no red orc to actually see do combat. Now you actually get to see
also
your red
the
orc.
Don't you see him in your head, though?
Well, that's no fun. Imagination's no fun.
It's also the first like PC card game where they're doing something that only a PC could do and you couldn't really do with cards at a table at an event like that.
Right.
I have Judgment.
They tried.
No, but that you could totally play that game without the graphical side of it and the camera.
Right.
It's really just a card game that happens to like have fireworks go off
right,
on the TV
right,
screen.
Right.
That was totally a card game implementation. This is an RTS, which is something that you know Magic the Gathering doesn't have, which is something.
But
that
it still seems
Fire
to be a,
doesn't have
a game designed around a business model.
It is
instead
it
of
is.
A game designed around a game.
I don't. That makes me skeptical. I don't think I don't think they can coexist. I don't think that they can be mutually exclusive.
For what
am I trying
worth,
to say?
Though, like in
it
the
could work.
It could work. I mean, in the demo they gave us in front of the whole crowd, and then in the demo we got on our own, it looked good, you know, without them even getting to that part of it. You know, yeah, Sean extracted that point out, and then it was sort of like But the game still looked good, even just for what it is. So,
and
I don't know. I liked it.
Go ahead, Andy.
I was going to say, it still looked like you unlock cards through playing, too. It isn't like you get the cards you start with.
That's right. There's that, too.
I could definitely see a game that incorporated, like, rarity. You know, instead of, like, making you buy cards to get superior force, you're just playing it, and you somehow find that you've got the most badass card by accident.
I mean, Guild Wars was, in a lot of ways, an MMO with a card system, but they didn't call them cards. They called them skills. I mean, you collected them in much the same way you would cards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that worked cool. But this you actually do buy... a booster pack, quote-unquote virtual booster pack, with 15 cards that are randomly selected.
Yeah.
Oh, God, they're randomized?
Oh, I thought...
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
They have
I thought it was you got to pick.
See, what
I don't know.
Maybe there are some you can pick. I'm not entirely sure what the business model is, but the guy did say that there is going to be a booster pack sort of system. There might be also a la carte system, but maybe they're more expensive or something. Maybe you buy... For $1, you can get 15 random cards, or for $2, you can get... Birdo.
I'm sure that there will be lots of parents willing to do that just to keep those cards like off the floor and out of everything. Like, you ever know like a little kid who's into Magic cards and they're like all over the fucking house?
Little kid nothing, dude. The dude I lived with in the last year in college. we had to like go out and forcefully like get him those white boxes with the drawers so he could like put them because they'd just be everywhere.
And the challenge for them is going
to
be...
To file them.
The challenge for the design is going to be like how to make it playable and make you feel powerful enough to play online without having to buy anything. Like, you should be able, whatever you get out of the box should be totally viable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, finding the balance between, well, if it's totally viable, why are people going to buy anything?
And don't forget, too, that the emphasis of what they're pushing here is co-op. So it's not really about how you have to you know, you're going to have to play against somebody who's been willing to pony money.
It's more
the
like
money.
A Diablo RTS or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we've been talking about this before. We were just waiting for that co-op RTS to come along where the campaign is
right.
co-op.
And they're also talking about how, you know, the cards are color-coded in the same way like Magic is. So, well, you know, whatever, the red ones are fire. So, like, Sean could go in with his whatever, you know, his cold ice deck, and I would go
I would totally be a water deck.
See, and I'd be the fire guy, and so there'll be ways of where you may be valuable to a team to take down a certain boss or whatever based on your deck, even if it isn't like some Uber deck.
When we first read the description, I was like, this was before we saw the game. We were considering mm-hmm. it for, you know, print preview, and to me it seemed like Robert was saying, it problematic in that it's a game based on a business model, but also, like, I just couldn't get past why the cards. What's up with this? There's two different games. There's card games, and then there's games like this, and why try to shoehorn the other one in? But when I did see it, I mean, I was like, okay, I can understand how this is working. And since they just use the cards as like these visual metaphors for spells
metric.
And stuff.
You know what a card is.
That seemed cool enough.
Well, and maybe I didn't see it. I don't know. Is it like random? Like you can only have five cards at once. So then you're like, oh, I just got this card that was in my deck. Awesome. Or something like that.
I'm not sure. It looks like, judging by the demo, which maybe this is just something they set up for the demo, it looked like the cards that you had out were persistent. And maybe you drew them from the deck at the beginning, or maybe you built it. But then they all had cooldowns after you used them. So like you would summon Red Dragon, which was one of eight cards at the bottom. But then it would kind of go dark and then slowly fade back into light. So it looked like, I don't know if there might be a way to... You know,
I was going
to
say, that
cards.
Would make sense if it had cards and it was like you randomly get, like you try and, like in Magic, you try and like fatten your deck with certain cards you want and then you just get it at like, the right moment or something like that.
I don't know if there's
that.
Like a shrine you walk into and then you can shuffle your deck or something. But.
Mm-hmm. It was cool. And I don't know. I just was happy to see a game like that at an event like that too. Just,
yeah, totally.
You know.
Well, RTS co-op isn't... like Dawn of War 2? I heard that was RTS co-op, isn't it?
It sounds like it will. We'll know more about that. There's actually a press event for that this Friday, and sweet. There's going to be an embargo on it, but so we'll be able to talk about that sometime next week, I believe.
Sweet.
Along the same lines with, you know, using a business model and marrying it to the game design, this Battlefield Heroes that they had there, and that was interesting. It was fun to play. I mean, it looks great. And it was interesting for me because I had done a cover story on it, with just looking at video and talking to everyone making it and going through slides and stuff. And I got to actually play it and see how that, you know, the experience of playing it compared to their description of what it's like to play it. But the thing that immediately was kind of troubling to me is that, again, you have this spell bar, this task bar on the bottom, and it was loaded up with, because we had these pre-leveled characters, and it had, you know, all these powers. I had sticky bombs. Basically, it's like a force push. It's like if you have a bunch of enemies around you, you hit it and it throws them aside, or if they're in a tank, it'll like knock the tank over and kick them out of it, so then you can then run and jump in the tank. And that was an awesome power. It's like it's a perfect solution to how do you have vehicles. And every game has tried to find some other one. Halo, of course, you can jack someone from the vehicle, jump on it, throw a grenade in it. And this, like, you can have vehicles that are powerful against infantry that's less powerful, but then still have the balance work out. But then, so it was like, I looked at all these powers and weapons I had and said, this isn't right. I'm just going to log out and make a new character from scratch. And then when I did that, they started with just two weapons and no powers. And, you know, basically just like a shotgun. And then I could choose either a rocket or a sticky bomb to fight the vehicles with. I don't have much of a sense for how quickly you acquire these abilities, but the difference between the level one character and the characters they had was like an order, I described it in the preview, it's on now, as an order of magnitude greater than like any, like, you know, balance imbalances in Call of Duty 4's perk system between a new player and a level 55. So you have this situation where you take opposition that's like battle hardened, you know, they're experienced, they've been playing longer, and then on top of that they've also got access to the best powers and weapons, and you put them against the new people and then you ship it as a casual game. I don't want it to seem like such a serious thing, because part of it is working toward that, part of it's to give you that lust of like, hey, how do I get that, and then you play your way toward it. But my experience is that anytime you have a competitive game, a game that like a shooter of any sort that allows you to compete with someone, casual, whatever you have on your drawing board just kind of disappears right away. And it was proven there. We were playing, there was like four stations, workstations for the press, and then everyone else was in their Redwood City beta testing thing. And those guys, they have this thing where they like want you to know that they can kick your ass. And they want you to know that even though they've been playing it for 50 hours a week, they're about as good as you'd expect if you played the game for 50 hours a week mm-hmm. against someone who just sat down when there's like crazy mm-hmm. like techno playing in the background and beard farmers brushing against you and almost spilling their drinks down your back. And they let you know. But so it was like they were proof. It was like, yeah, that from my point
of view,
that wasn't
a good strategy.
That's a good thing, though.
They got to be like, let the press win.
Yeah. It's so weird. Now and then, it's like you'll play in a press review session yeah. and you get the sense that that's happening. But yeah.
I've noticed it several times playing games. Like, I went for that Unreal Tournament story mm-hmm. for GFW, and I remember playing against the people making mm-hmm. it. And I'm not a...
You were just standing still with the knife, right?
No, but I would
still
be running around.
Everybody.
I would be like running around going after people. I'd notice people just, you know, like yeah. I'm doing.
Oh,
this.
You got me again! You're great. Isn't this game great? Yeah,
did they ever
so
go?
Good?
Did they ever stop and go, Robert? That was a wonderful headshot.
Yeah, you're great at this game.
It was more
Do you
like,
love it?
It was
Do you
more
like it?
Wow, I can't believe you managed to kill that guy with the machine gun by shooting him in the feet so many times. You know? Yeah.
Other times, though, you'll have, like, the beta guys that just will not give an inch, and they're there to make your time hell. But it was interesting because it did prove that whatever the trappings are, you know, much like Team Fortress 2, if you're, consider yourself a serious shooter player and you want to be rewarded for, you know, your skill set, like, the game will absolutely do that, you know. There's a lot of cool stuff that you can do in it, too, with the powers. I mean, you can... And to differentiate it from regular Battlefield games, I mean, you can rocket jump, of course, you know, jump up over buildings and things and throw your sticky bomb, switch to your sticky bomb in midair and throw that on someone else. Other weird powers are like a sniper can mark you so that everyone on his team not only sees you indicated, like with an outline of some sort, but they can see you through walls. And then when that power is like acting on you, you'll have an arrow above your head so that you know that you are basically, you can't hide from anyone.
What is it? I mean, it only works for one person. Like, someone can decide that they just want to see you behind walls.
And it will enable their entire team as well as themselves to
but
see you.
But just you.
For a time. Just okay. you. Just you for a small period of time.
That's weird. You would think it would be the opposite. Like, you would have the power and then suddenly be able to see everyone from the opposing team through walls. But instead, you pick one person that everyone on your team...
There's something like that in WoW, too. I'm okay. sure, like, everybody on the side of the room is, like, thinking Hunter's Mark, like, immediately, is what it sounds like.
And there's even equivalent in Fortress Forever.
How'd you guess?
Team, basically, it's a Team Fortress classic remake for Source. The sniper and that can tag you with like a tracking bullet, and then a radar will come up, and then you can see that person for like a small amount of time moving throughout the map. But the other thing is the planes. That was, they're fun to use, and it was like immediately if you played Battlefield, even though it's third person point of view, you're like, okay, this, I'm used to this. Like, this handles the way I would expect. But they had like this like dedicated flyboy on their team. It was just like hogging the plane the entire time. But that just reminded me like that's always been an issue in Battlefield games. When you have like some super powerful vehicle that you can like get points with, everyone's going to want to use it. And so to avoid that with tanks and jeeps, what they make it is that if you go to the place, it just will spawn there. There'll always be one for you, but you can't do that with planes because then you're going to have like everyone's going to be flying. Right. Mm. And so there's only one, and that means you got to wait. But then the downside is that everyone else wants it, so they just wait on the runway. Meanwhile, their team's losing, but they don't give a shit because they just want to get the plane and well, blow someone up. So clearly they haven't solved that issue yet.
Can you team kill? Like the people in the plane like you used to be able?
They knew better on that. By ramming into teammates? I didn't try that at impressive event, man. But they knew they had
maneuvers.
The other thing is the character creation stuff. Did anyone else get to mess with it?
No, I was standing behind some dweeb with fingerless gloves on for 20 minutes and he never got up.
Yeah, I was kind of waiting.
Demodius X was there? Did he really have fingerless gloves?
Yes.
That's so fucking rad.
Oh, man.
Everything there works as advertised. I mean, the game loads as fast as they say. You go to a website and you hit play now and it's like boom, next thing you know you're playing the game. But the character customization thing is really streamlined, so it's like paper doll. You got one on the left, and Jeff, you're doing this weird look. You're still worrying that the fingerless glove guy is going
to
beat your tiny little Latino head. It's a Demonius X quote. Sorry,
I'm listening to you. Go on.
That was uncomfortable because you don't watch Demonius X.
Oh. I know Demonius X
personally.
Yeah. Yes. He and I go back.
Yeah. He was at this event.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We got derailed.
The character customization menu is really cool. It's like there's just like a paper doll looking thing of your character, and then there are all these tabs to switch to, you know, pants or pouches and all these things that you can put on your character, and you just drag them and drop them. And the assortment is pretty flexible, even though they want to have this pseudo World War II vibe. I mean, like I was talking to the thing I wrote about, like I got a sombrero and there's like a guy that was like a U-boat captain with the peg leg, and he had great. All this ridiculous stuff on. And, I mean, you can really throw just like bizarre stuff. I mean, and they'll draw, you know, stuff from, you know, Australian soldiers from World War II, and then you can mix and match that with maybe like a Scots kilt or something. And but that was pretty fun to mess around with. You can't actually change the shape of the body or anything, and that's partially how it works and how it's flexible. But unlocking all that would be fun, and I wanted. And then you can have a team. Like I was like kind of sad that when I was flying the plane in a sombrero, it's their open cockpit, and they're like miniature size, kind of like Metal Slug, you know. And I had my big head sticking out the top. Like I wanted guys sitting on the wings in sombreros. Also, that would just be like a rad way to it.
Did they talk more about any other potential microtransaction models? Like to me, clothing packs seems like a harmless way to get people to spend money.
It would be, and the dice reps there weren't really saying anything other than like, oh yeah, you'll be able to earn stuff and you'll be able to buy stuff too, but like, you know, well, what do I buy and what do I earn? Like no real details.
I'd pay practically anything for
I'm sure Bad Company is a giant experiment for
it's funny because now that we talk about this, it's like Mass Effect, which is like a port, was like the only game there that wasn't like based on a business model for PC,
right? Because Warhammer Online
Because Warhammer Online is a pay-to-play and...
Well, Left 4 Dead.
Left 4 Dead.
There's no ulterior motive behind Left 4 Dead except zombies.
That's true.
Yeah.
On Steam, which, you know, Steam is a solution to the PC problem. Everything that's not on Steam, they're like, fuck, what are we going to do? So
I can't wait to talk to them again. I mean, I didn't have much time to see everything there, but to speak with Valve, because in the past, they're sort of stated... You know, methodology for online games was, you know, release early and often, meaning get the game out and then iterate on it based on player input. And this time it's like clearly they've got another philosophy, because it's like they keep pushing and pushing the game, and all of us are like eager to play it, and every time we play it we're like, wow, like they could release this early, and yes, they would have a few bugs to iron out for the often part, but like that would be
fine. I saw an interview with Doug Lombardi from this event where he was saying, I can't remember where it was, but he was saying specifically, like, they did kind of flip around the let's get it out there in front of a ton of people and let them play it to death before we release it. And it probably has to do with the console.
Yeah.
I would imagine that changes
things. I don't
know,
though. Every time they show it, I've never seen it shown on a console
yet. That's the thing, though. Maybe they want to release them simultaneously, and the console one's way far behind.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they want to make sure, because they can't necessarily make the changes as easily on a 360 as they can with, like, Steam updates. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just the process is just more convoluted or something.
There's a lot of, like, visual refinement that they've been putting into it. I mean, the same level that they had there was the very first level I saw, like, long ago. And the difference between it now and then is pretty striking. Just lighting things and level of detail in the environments and adding things.
I know they've shown the infected gameplay before, but I have never seen it yet, half a year ago.
But it was missing like props. Some of the characters were missing, like, you know, first person animation and stuff.
Right.
So like if you were a hunter and you lunged on someone, they didn't have it in where you see your hands in front of you as you jump and tack someone down. I also think it was wise, though, if you're going to show that side of the game, you shouldn't do it. And this is also leading up to Anthony's part of the showcase. But you don't show that kind of gameplay at a big press event like that, where it's just an entire zoo and everyone's packed in. Because from the human side, you could sit down immediately and everyone understands, I got a gun, I point it at a zombie, and I shoot it. But if you're going to be a zombie, an infected class that you have to hide in the shadows, and you wait for your one moment that might happen, like maybe once in every like 4 or 5 minutes, and then you like lash someone with your tongue and you hang them so that another teammate who you're clearly not coordinating with in the way you ought to be, because it's just someone you don't know sitting at a terminal next to you, he's not going to be a hunter and then pounce on the guy as you're hanging him with your tongue or whatever like that. So it's just that's going to be something that they're going to, it's just best shown on a one-to-one basis, where you can have some time to adjust to it and get used to it. And they've said that, like, yeah, clearly playing the infected side is going to be like an art that is going to take a little more work for people than just jumping in and shooting with the other guys.
So
and
was
then,
that his cue?
And then the cue for that was How was previewing an MMO in that press event environment?
It was pretty terrible. I mean, it was because, you know, like the whole thing about Warhammer Online is that, you know, they keep touting that thing that comes from Dark Ages Camelot, which is realm versus realm combat and the ability to like dramatically alter the landscape and actually permanently take land from the other side, culminating in like, you know, they really kept talking it up. Like, you're going to be able to take out an enemy capital city and like kill their king and literally put his head on a stake in front of the city and stuff like mm-hmm. that.
And this, they've been talking about this for years.
They've been
years,
talking about it for forever. Yeah, that's the thing. And no one has ever seen it. Like, they've shown PvP, but they didn't show it changing anything. And this time, all they had set up was, like, they had a level one elf character for me to run around. And all I was doing was, like, no one was really there. So I just walked up and started, like, all right, right-click to attack.
You saw some exclamation points.
Mash
you took two. Some quests.
Did you collect
to use
any
my
apples?
Power. No, I killed 10 harpies for some elf on a horse.
So, those, you know, harpies, it, man, you kill them in one game, they fucking show up in another. It's like a plague.
The difference between the harpies and this one, though, is like the harpies in Warhammer got like, you know, big old boobies
they got
that are showing.
Breasts.
I like to kill harpies in God of War because it feels real visceral. You get to rip their heads off.
Yeah, there's nothing like this. This one, I swing at them and the number like 21 appears or something like that, you know.
But it was eventually like, fall to the ground.
I didn't even get to create my own character, which is like something that like is always like a big pleasure of any MMO.
They should have just had video for that.
It's impossible. Those things, how many months ago did we go see Warhammer? Maybe six or so for GFW.
Like even
three of us went to play it for about 5 hours. And we still probably could have said what you just said, you know, and that's about it.
That's
we did a bunch
thing.
Of quests
that's
in
the thing,
MMO
like,
style, and then they threw us into, like, level 20 or 30 characters for some PvP. And, of course, you got a new hotbar with a whole bunch of crap you don't know what it does, and you're not going to learn because, you know, in 10 more minutes you got to move on to the next thing. And the PvP for that wasn't the realm versus realm either. It was capture
just
the
PvP.
Flag.
Yeah, exactly.
This would be like if they want us to preview Lord of the Rings Part 2 written by the guy's great-grandson. Or someone who alleges to be Tolkien's great-great-grandson. And then you start on page 345 and you read through page like 362 and then you put it down. There's techno music playing while you do it.
I told him, like, you know, that's what I told him. I was like, you know, if you really want people to like understand your game, you really need to have like an awesome public beta where people actually get to see firsthand like how they shape the world and stuff like that.
Yeah,
because
vertical slices suck. They suck
otherwise,
the most for MMOs.
Why play that? Like,
right.
You know.
It was a tough venue for any demo, but for something like that in particular, yeah. They could have just had a video loop running instead, maybe.
I mean, I'm level 14 or 15 in Age of Conan, and I still don't feel like I have a good handle on it yet. It's just weird.
I mean, that's one of the things that's sort of surprising that MMOs are even done. It's like a class of game that can't even be explained. You know what I mean? It's like, tell me about this game, World of Warcraft.
It can explain on a basic level, but then the differences are so subtle often that you can't explain how this one is different from the other one.
For me, I can even see it will register, maybe not how it's different from World of Warcraft, but other MMOs, like the difference between Tabula Rasa. From the difference between that and Guild Wars and Auto Assault and stuff.
It's got guns.
But the problem is when you explain it that way, what you can't communicate is why it would be fun to anyone playing it. I mean, because if you do break down any, like, if you break down like 10 minutes or half an hour of play from any MMO, there's no fun to be had in it. So the reasons that people play MMOs occur like somewhere between those or across bigger periods and part of it is with playing with their friends and all these things.
It's a giant,
And a big
when you
part
just
of
say
it,
you kill shit to get high, I mean, all MMOs have the same thing, you know?
There's a huge factor of ownership, too, that just isn't lost in the demo where you're just, you were tossed a character as like, here's an elf. You're like,
I would never
have
played an elf to begin with.
Yeah, right. Like, there you go.
I am insulted. I am not an elf.
Yeah. Imagine, Robert, like,
you should have had a diva fit like that at the I won't be an elf.
I demand a warrior.
Yeah. Do you know who I am?
A dwarf.
I'm a game critic.
Imagine if you took, like, God of War or something you liked, and you decided you were going to stretch it out to play for about like 400 hours and you're going to massively water down the combat and all the interactive stuff like that. And you're going to, you know, make it obviously massively repetitive and all these things. But then what you are getting out of it is persistence and community, being able to play with other people and socialize with them. And then also the sense that like you're building towards something and that you're acquiring things as you play. I mean, me, I'd rather just take the isolation and the better combat and the 6 hour
that's the other
time.
Thing is,
yeah, I just don't like people.
None of these like MMO demos like that show you like the community that'll build up around it, or I don't know, the way that grouping works. Like, I had no idea.
Dude, the fingerless gloves mm-hmm. showed you all you need to know about the community.
Yeah, that guy was playing Battlefield.
Yeah. Oh,
not okay. the MMO.
Yeah. That's so your community.
How about them yeah. apples?
We went to Blizzard last week, and, you know, we played Wrath of the Lich King for about 5 hours. Here's a game I know inside and out, and they're showing the second expansion for, and the things I wanted to learn about it, we just couldn't do. Like, I wanted to go into a dungeon and see, like, how to make new boss encounters. Like, obviously, this is, like, to me, like, a huge area where they're just learning and changing, and it's exciting, and I can't wait to see what they do next. But we couldn't do it.
This is exactly right. Right.
It's just impossible, even in the...
And even, like, playing the character class that my main character is, a warlock, playing in the Lich King, well, it wasn't my warlock... And they had the 70 to 80 skills weren't even in there, mm-hmm. right? So I didn't know what new I was going to get. So even a game like WoW that's been around for years, that, like you're saying, a lot of us know inside out, when there's a new one to demo, you still can't get what the experience is.
I'm surprised they don't do like the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory thing and get you guys like your actual characters and bring you in.
See, that would be awesome.
And they're like, Wrath of the Lich King, and everyone's like, yeah.
And then you get to keep.
And
you get to keep whatever you collect.
And then you would
smiles
understand it.
Yeah.
You would feel like, well, I'm in the game.
Yeah, imagine an MMO where you don't get to keep the stuff. You don't even get to keep the experience points to your character, and that's all that matters for some people.
It's like communism.
In addition to the
the
camaraderie.
So, I won't be able to
work on
get this
collective farm. collective pelt farm.
They'll be right if you get angry.
We will share all our pelts, brother.
That'll be a good skit. Like, you have Anthony or something playing that down at EA, and then he's just all pissed off and, like, accusing the guy when he won't, like, give him the character at the end of the day of, like, having used him to like, fucking to get, like, 16 gold and, like, 400 XP.
I'm no gold farmer.
So, mine, bitch.
Like, for a while, I'll get it when they open up the public test round, when they let you transfer your character over, and then you can play around with it. But until then,
well, like we were saying,
days of learning,
right? So. Well, we were saying on Legendary Thread, you know, yesterday we were talking about Age of Conan, and you know, Sean and I were making some critical remarks, and he's further along in the game than I am, and you know, but we did go out of our way to make the point of, like, you know, you're what level?
14.
14? Okay. Like, imagine reviewing World of Warcraft if you were level 14. I mean, the game is completely different.
Right.
Then, I mean, that's not, you're not even really playing the game yet.
And that's just MMOs. Me and Sean were talking about this earlier this week about, like, you know, like when Warhawk got reviewed, even here, it was like a 2 day thing from like 3 to 4:30. They did like 2 1.5 hour, like, sessions, and they were like, there you go, that's your Warhawk review time.
That's your,
you know,
review.
Like, like we were saying, like, you know, even with Sean always brings up Company Heroes example, but it's such a good example because it's like, imagine if Sean had to review that before the game came out, got to play like 2 games against the developers and was like, all right, that's multiplayer.
That's why everyone in the reviews understandably just talked about campaign, which, you know, we're always like, campaign comes and goes in like a day and a half if you're even playing it, and then the rest is there. But it would take for both ways, not just for, like, I'm going to look at Robert because I'm feeling guilty. It would take time to review certain games like that.
Why do you feel guilty?
No, but because from a consumer report or a review thing versus criticism, from that standpoint, the answer would be yes. You'd do a better job by spending more time with it because you would see that it's more valuable to you that way. Likewise, if you're performing a critique of any quality, you'd benefit from it as well because you're just able to, like, look at it in more depth and have had time to think about it and, you know, what it all means. And it's just
so why even bother to review multiplayer games until like a month after they come out?
Well, the thing,
good question.
Because they get us clicks and they sell magazines, you know.
Oh, shit.
I mean, but the thing is, like, what about the ones that
best
have a single
game ever
player
cut
and
made
a
by human hands?
Do you review them separately, or do you just, like, hold back on the review, or do you change the score later on? I don't know.
Oh yeah, this is a constant struggle. Like,
yeah, we talk
back
about
to MMOs. Like, the Warcraft I'm playing now is nothing like the Warcraft I reviewed. Like, you know, I gave Burning Crusade whatever I gave it, and
I absolutely think that
MMOs could be
just
now it's 11
totally different game.
Yeah, now I do think we should be re-reviewing MMOs. regularly and giving them new scores,
especially
based on
if
how they
it
play.
Was like totally
now.
Fucked. When maybe we
they
don't even need
in an RTS. You know, maybe they just have your changing
there
impressions. You should just mm-hmm. play up front. Like this is the extent. This is the limitations of my experience with this game. And
instead
later
of
on, you can post something.
Which
else.
Is why you run into the Consumer Reports style thing for these things. So. Because it, that's what you can.
This is
quantify.
This is like this kind of ties into what we were talking about these events too.
Talk.
So with games like that, given any time you have like a blind spot from a reviewer, anytime a reviewer has a blind spot, they go back. They tend to go back to the press release. So it's like if you really don't know what to say about this, you go to the press release and it points out very conveniently for you all the things you should talk about. And it's infuriating to be a person who sees these things and knows what's in them and then to go online and to see the same structure reproduced everywhere else. And so right before this week, we were, you know, as this week started, we had to like rush home and write previews like that Battlefield thing. I had to do it that night before I went to bed, got home at like 9. I was like, you can't sleep until you turn this in. And I was complaining about, I was like, do they know, the people who organize these events, that if they gave us like a week or even a couple days, that they would have better stories emerge from them, because not only would we have more time to write about them, we'd have more time to think about them. And Robert, you were like, well, they don't want you thinking about them. And they know that the more hard-pressed you are to get this thing in quick, the easier it's going to be for you to just like regurgitate whatever you heard
right.
during the presentation and whatever you have on your handy, like, please.
Because those
this
presentations
right.
This is, in
like
fact, the most immersive 3D experience I've ever had.
But they're always,
the press release is right. What the fuck? It's 2 a.m.
They're always careful to give you, you know, like a structure when you go see a game. Yep. They want to give you something really digestible. And that makes sense to me. I mean, if you're going to go look at a game that's really complicated and big, you're gonna have to be given some sort of like structural sense of what they're trying to do, and you're probably gonna go back and report on that
slice, right?
But if you have more time to think about it and more time to play it, then yeah, you can go off the rails. And I'm sure they're not so into that.
I have talked to PR people who, you know, whose job it is to write these press releases, and you know, you think like, Why do these even exist? Who reads these? You know, but I've talked to PR people who will say like, oh yeah, I've seen my exact sentences show up in previews or even reviews, and like for them that's like a huge victory.
There was the right. infamous time in PSE 2 magazine,
that's true, yep.
where I found 600 words directly pasted from the press release in their in their cover story for the game.
That's the control C control V school of game
journalism.
Yeah,
like you know,
at Carnegie Mellon.
Four keystrokes to a fast article.
Because games like RTSs and MMOs are difficult, like to review for these reasons. I also noticed that like when you have a review of an RTS on a console, they're almost entirely dedicated to talking about how, look, they managed to do it. They got this RTS controls to work on the thing. And it's like, because that's an easy thing to do when you're not capable of engaging all the other stuff about the RTS. And then if you look on the PC platform for like notoriously complex, you know, 4X games, I think you'll see a lot of the same stuff, you know, like a lot of talking about the spreadsheets and stuff. And I'm getting this from Rory, who's reviewing the latest Galciv 2 expansion now, and he was, you know, talking about it, was like, look, I don't want to write about the spreadsheets and stuff. And it was cool like hearing him come up with his angle and his, you know, his sort of like, you know, idea plot for his thing. But
I mean, that's a problem with everything. It's not, I mean, we're always like beating up on ourselves and on the enthusiast press here, but like all press always
fun.
Has these same narratives for everything. It's like every time you read a story about a console RTS, it's the does it actually work on the console narrative. Every time you read a story about games in, you know, the newspaper, it's like, boy, these games sure do make a lot of money, you know. And every
time, and they're maturing.
But
they,
I mean, but even beyond games, like they talk about
it's not just over and over. You're right. Another narrative is like for any Wii game is like, does it use the Wii controls in like in a unique fashion? Well, that's like a guaranteed like A+ for a lot of stuff.
Well, the thing is that a lot of times, like it's been my experience that's like what, like, editorial people will tell you what to write about because they think that that's what people really want to know. Mm-hmm. Like when people click on a preview about a Wii game as opposed to like the 360 version, the only thing they care about is hearing about how the motion controls work, because that's what they all bought the Wii for. So like the same thing with an RTS on console is, does it work on this console? Tell us about how the interface works, because that's what people want to know, because it doesn't belong on a console.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that it's just that.
And there's something to be said for that. I mean, clearly you don't want to play an RTS on a console if it doesn't work. But then when you go beyond there, you're like, okay, so I have something that works.
But is it
like
good?
Is that all I need to know? You know, and then I think also like so Rory's case, like what he was saying is that as he was building all this content for the game, he's like, look, you know, I when I look back at all my favorite 4X games, they're always the most important thing for me is always the story I end up telling through the action, not only through his actions, but through the campaigns he creates and the levels, the enemies that you make and all this stuff. And then looking at like, well, what kind of stories am I telling? And then going from there. And then once you think through this, then finding what he wants to write about. And it's like, hey, a lot of people don't really give a shit, but if you do it, if you execute on this properly, what I told him might happen, I was like, what you do is you articulate the way things are as you understand them after, you know, thinking through them. And if you're lucky, what's going to happen is other people are going to say, oh, like that's totally the case for me as well, but I've never thought mm-hmm. about that. And then they'll start to think about the game in a different way. And that's like so much more valuable and enjoyable in the long. I mean, of course, it's not an either or. You could do both. And you can actually do both in one review, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
well, it, I don't know, it makes
it
total
takes,
sense.
It takes like – you just have to be like confident in yourself sometimes. You know, like I'm going to show – I know what people want to hear about. I'm going to give them that, but I'm also going to show them what I think they would be interested in hearing about as well. But they don't – they're not even aware of yet.
And you're going to tap dance. At the same time.
No.
Why not?
I my silence is I was trying to come up with a joke for because I was playing Smarty Pants for Wii, and it makes you dance for, like, bonus points.
What is Smarty Pants?
It's like it's a game show game.
Casual,
but yeah, I couldn't trivia think game. Of one. I couldn't think of a joke. Although there is a tug-of-war thing when, like, you to decide who gets to answer the next question, mm-hmm. and you're supposed to, like, yank it. So I was playing with Melissa last night, and I was like, it's like tug-of-war, and then on screen it was, like, showing this motion. I looked at Melissa, I'm like, you lose. And I was like,
dude, that's just like a that's just like a Raybot, this capsule toy from Japan. I gotta interrupt you, sorry.
No.
And all it is, it's this little thing with two buttons and a counter, and it counts how many times you can press a button within 10 seconds. And all of us were
why?
I don't know, man. Japanese people are crazy. So he bought it, and Ray can do like 102 within 10 seconds. I can do 70. That's the best I can do. And like Alice came by, and she was like, God, all you guys look so ridiculous when you're doing that. And I was like, this is our private faces.
Do you have that here? Do you have that in the office? I'm going to try that because I have the most amazing track and field skills. I got this like vibrating kind of
that's the way you
method.
Have to do it. Yeah,
yeah, it's like a
yeah, well, there
is to kill it.
The world record's like 122.
That's the worst.
Anyone with a popsicle stick could have fucked you up.
I agree with you.
What track and field? That. Someone with a popsicle stick?
Wait, what do you mean? What?
Because track and field, you had to alternate between two buttons. So you wouldn't just mash one button. You'd have to go between them. So you'd put a popsicle stick across them and use your finger as a fulcrum in the middle, right? And then you would do what you were saying on one side, and it would automatically alternate on the other side. No, everyone would bring – dude, when track and field was the shit, everyone had it like a comb in their back pocket, a popsicle stick. Like the ice cream man would be coming by like, going to the store and just like put that out.
I love that game. Universe. I mean, I realize that it's like
javelins,
pathetic.
I always hated
all
that
kinds
game.
Of shit.
But
and dude, well, pro wrestling for Nintendo Entertainment System.
Oh my god,
that was you basically had it. You got a pro. What you're talking about is a pro wrestling NES simulator, man. Just pretend it's like the equivalent of like what Magic is to Battleforge. You're like
grab,
just pretend,
grab.
Just pretend there's like you know pile drivers and shit happening when you're doing that. Maybe they are.
Jeff looks disillusioned.
I was just thinking
right
about
now.
Like how much this country's gone to hell. I was thinking about Sean and all his friends with the popsicle sticks, you know, back there with track and fans. Like if they'd just been like applying that ingenuity in science class, you know, maybe this country wouldn't be.
They were. They went on,
the
they
way
went on to learn to cook, man.
Well, you use all that ingenuity to like try to rip stuff off. Like I was saying, like the whole thing. No, like the kid. I think
that's
I said it,
great.
I said it was
it's
Ryan.
The American way.
Yeah. I said it was Ryan, but it wasn't really where like. Well, no, you know what started where like you take and you drill a hole in a quarter and you tie fishing line through that. You go to the arcade and then you try to trip the coin slot
sure.
as many times. They find a way. They counter engineer against that. You take the clear tape
I see what you're saying.
You make
it's fostering
long,
ingenuity of different types.
A right. long lead on a dollar bill. You stick that in the Coke machine and then hit coin return and pull it back out and continue to do that until you're rich in quarters.
So you're basically product testing.
Yeah, right. you're helping them. No, but
what,
that's where the ingenuity would go.
This is leading to a clean burning fuel.
Because a long ass time ago, he told a story about you shoving a dollar down the machine.
Yeah,
and pulling
you weren't
it out.
Here.
Did what? You do that?
One time we
no.
did though. We made hot air balloons with if you go to like a dry cleaners and you get like a big dry cleaner bag, and then you take that and we made like a with a bunch of straws and made like a little holder down in the bottom, and then you cut a can. and you set that on top of the cross of straws, and then you put sterno in it. And you light the sterno. Sterno is like a liquid.
Jellied
like
kerosene.
Jellied kerosene. Yeah, fuel. Okay. And so you light that. And then, of course, it fills the bag with hot air, and you just let it go. But this is in Southern California, and you're like, well, when that bag tips, that burning fucking napalm just starts falling out of the combustible bag all over.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, we do that kind of thing.
That is great use of time.
We used to do things with sterno, too, like, because that shit burns, but it doesn't burn, like, the stuff it's on. So we used to, like, rub it all over our hand and light our hand on fire. Because it'll just burn.
That's not
hand.
So much ingenuity as fucking
That's some Darwinism there.
That's Judas Priest right there, man.
The greatest television show of all time is Beavis and Butthead because it's just fucking true. Like, that was the best depiction of two guys.
Beavis and Butthead never did. My shit was fucking Mr. Wizard, man. Don't insult me like that.
No, come on.
This was fairly
Everyone
Beavis and Butthead.
Like Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
All right.
You might not have been just like Beavis and Butthead, but you were hanging out with them at least.
I spent too much time in the marching band room after hours because I didn't do these kind of things.
I was in marching band too.
You were?
What'd you play? It was on a marching band trip when we were doing the shit with the sterno in our hotel room.
Uh-huh. I used to program text adventures on my Commodore 64.
Wow. Actually, yeah, there was some Beavis and Butthead. Now I cop to it. One time at the high school PE, they had like this DECA thing. Which is, I forget what that stands for. It's an acronym for kids who want to go on and be like, you know, business people when they grow up. And they sell like Snickers and Cheez-Its and shit. And we went there after hours with like a glass cutter thinking that we were going to like do some Mission Impossible shit and cut like a hole in the window and then grab all the Snickers. And like just barely scratch the window. And then the custodian comes by and he's like, hey! I know you. I fucking know you. And we start running.
Jen's going to go home and like put a science book in his daughter's hands.
Yeah.
Please read.
This will be the episode to get the old stories out since it's been a while. And so I stopped telling them because a lot of people said they hate them online, but then I see a bunch of other people wanted to hear them. So along with this is truly Beavis and Butthead. At one point in my apartment complex, and one of the many apartment complexes I lived in as a kid, someone left their mail key in their mailbox. So I was like, shit, there's a mailbox key, and I took it. And then over the week, this was actually, I need to give it the grade. This is third grade, so you don't think I'm this much of a shithead. So I would go over the week and take it and look for stuff. Like, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's going to be a package with some Transformers in it or something. There weren't. So
maybe a Playboy.
What I did. So then I just was like, shit. I took and I put a note in there, said, if you want this mailbox key back, you got to leave $5 under the doormat of apartment, like whatever. And it was like a vacant apartment in the thing. And then meanwhile, that same week, they got a bunch of like return checks, you know, that had already been cashed, but you know, you just get them back. They don't do that anymore, but that sometime in the 80s they would send you an envelope with all your checks on site now. So I took those around the school, and the very same day I'm at my elementary school giving those out to kids like their money. I'm like, it's checks, man. You know what a check is? It's what your mom, when you want that G.I. Joe figure and your mom says you don't have any money, it's what she pays for it with. You can write a check, can't you, mom? And then so I was giving these out, and then I get called later in the day to the principal's office, and I go in there. And there's my parents are in there, and then the principal, and then some other person I didn't know. And that person introduced himself as the postmaster general of the district, and they hold up my ransom letter, my extortion letter. And they're like, Sean, man, do you know anything about this? And it's like, it totally worked. I was like, I know what I'm going to do. So I just start crying. I'm like, I'm sorry I did it. And then they're like, okay, we're glad that you know, it was really brave of you to just admit that you did this. I was like, admit what? You're fucking holding my letter out in front of you. Yeah. Oh, some other kid in the apartment who just happened to have the same handwriting.
You thought they were going to bring out the forensics experts and like
prove it, bitch.
So yeah, I'm surprised I got off with just an ass whooping on that one. And because it happened off of school, so I couldn't get detention or anything. But I did spend most of that year like having my lunches and all my recesses in the principal's office because I did something or the other.
Yeah.
Fuck something up.
That's just really hard to imagine somehow.
I don't even know what we'd get in, like, I mean, from fights and stuff. Sometimes it would just be something dumb. You'd be mad, and I didn't understand why I'd be in trouble. Like, one thing, anytime someone would have to take a shit, you would run. You'd be like, dude, someone's taking a shit. Like, there's only one course of action. It's to run on the playground and scream so everyone knows. And you all run in, and you go to the stalls next to it, and you get the toilet paper, and then you get it wet in the sink, and you stand up on the adjacent stalls and urinals, and you throw them down on the person taking a shit.
Where the hell did you live?
I know. Seriously. Fucking Lord of the Flies.
The whole bathroom roof was covered with, like, stalactites of wet toilet paper from us just going in there. And then, of course, every time too, every day, it's just a ritual. You finish your school lunch and you take your milk carton, and you know how you could rip them open in the top so it would just be like a perfectly open square?
Yeah, I know that.
And you just mix the corn that you didn't eat with the whatever's left of the chocolate milk and the water, and you put that on the big giant, like, hydraulic hinge coming in the bathroom, because they had an entry door and an exit door. And then you just sit in there and wait for someone to come in.
But now, I'm never going to the bathroom here again.
No, kids wouldn't. You know not to go to the bathroom in schools, because this was going to happen to you. Indeed, there's one time when in high school, it fucking carried all the way to high school. There's no doors on the shitters. So you really didn't want to That's have to right. deuce at school. So it's like maybe like doing a deuce in the Ziff Davis offices. But I'm sitting there, and there was like a special ed kid taking a dump. And then, dude, what was his last name?
Don't say his last name.
No, the bully. Paul Grabanski is in the mirror combing his hair back. I swear to God, this sounds like it's fiction. It's not. He's fucking combing his hair, and then he's looking in the mirror, and he turns around. What do we have here?
Oh, God.
And then the guy's, imagine you're right behind him taking a shit, and this guy's combing, and he's like, what do we have? And then he goes, he gets down. I'm like, kind of like on my haunches with my hands on my knees, and he's like, special ed taking a fucking shit.
Oh,
take a fat shit for me, special ed. And he's like, doing the hang loose.
That sounds like a horrible teen movie.
Doing the hang loose sign in the guy's face because he was a surfer or something. And then he just leaves. He just walks out.
What a tough guy.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah, schools are institutions, not unlike prison, and people
yeah,
act
seriously.
Like that.
These are like prison stories.
You're glad your daughter's going to a private school.
I am.
Yeah.
Actually, I got to say, he's probably listening. I got a message from a kid who goes to the private school that my daughter's going to start at next year. She's about to start high school, and so she got into school. And anyway, this guy figured out somehow, because I said her first name, and he knows I live in the Bay Area. He looked at the roster of incoming freshmen for this coming September, and he said, hey, I'm just looking at the roster for incoming freshmen at this school I go to, and I see someone named Sarah Green. Is that your daughter? Yeah, so I said,
oh, great. Now your daughter has a stalker.
He's probably listening now. So if you are listening, you know,
Keep your hands off.
Thinking about 10, 15 feet, you know, restraining order, buddy.
Dude, I thought you were quoting Sawyer from Lost for a minute.
What?
You saw last week. It was the week before, or last week's, one of them.
With Claire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next thing, she's going to end up in Jacob's cabin.
Hey.
I'm sorry.
That's not nice. Anyway.
You always spoil Lost. What are you talking about?
Yeah, don't.
He's not worried about spoiling Lost. He's worried about.
Worried about my kid.
Worried about his
daughter. Stay away from my daughter.
Spoiling daughter.
How bad do you feel right now, man?
The only thing
you
I really
see the world in spoil laws, spoil do not lost, spoil yeah. laws.
I was only thinking, really, I didn't care about that part. Really, I trust the kid.
Yeah.
Well, not really, but I'm figuring that's fine. I actually was just thinking, like, I hope he doesn't tell my kid how much I swear on this podcast all the time. That's the first thing.
Well, now you're just
what,
telling him.
That's a
him
secret. Can't she just like go online and download it?
Well, she could.
Why
but she
would
doesn't.
She though? That's the right. last
yeah,
thing.
But you, yeah, that ain't cool.
Right. I'm
so you're not a swearer at home.
No, like, not what? Really, except for the inadvertent, like, fight or whatever. Or actually, the last time was, just last night with Lost Winds, because I kept blowing some junk. Some jump. So I yelled,
fuck!
At the screen at one point. I just hear, Dad! From upstairs.
It's okay to swear. It won't cause her to swear, because I remember my mom cusses like a sailor, and, like, grew up with her just, like, cussing like crazy. I don't think that I said a swear word in front of her until I was, like, 25.
I still don't say a swear word in front of my mom.
I mean, I try not to, but I mean, I don't know. For someone who grew up with a mom who would, you know, drop F-bombs left and right, it wasn't a big deal for me to say. I was just always afraid. It's like you grew up with someone cussing and there's this thing like, oh, you're not supposed to do that. That's okay for...
Right, like my mom my mom smoked and she'd always be like, do not smoke.
With like smoke rings coming out of her mouth.
Do
Do not do this.
When I was at Robert's for Thanksgiving last time, his mother-in-law was there and I kept trying to... You were unflappable. I kept trying to set him up and I'd just be like, so Robert, are you still addicted to like online gambling and stuff? But I would, the whole time I would just keep doing shit like that and Robert would just go along with it like, yeah, man, I can't stop. But
we always fuck with her anyway. Like Sarah's mom is like super gullible and will just go with like anything you tell her. So you didn't know. It was like she wasn't sitting there like, oh, does he online gamble? She was probably thinking, oh, maybe I should play some poker.
You better hope she doesn't listen to this.
We're always like telling her like, you know, bullshit stories and she doesn't get that we're joking at first. So.
That's good. It was fun. It could allow us to keep going without feeling guilty. So about your daughter listening, Jeff, your daughter listening to the show, it's like if your dad was an Albar Schreiner and he rode around parades in a bumper car with the fez on, would you go to the parades to watch it?
Of course I wouldn't. Yeah, dude.
But now your daughter's going to have some dude there at the school that she goes to that's going to be like, I love games for Windows Radio.
He's going to go up to her and going, you're not the Lord of the Rings. Oh, what a nerd. Does he say that at home too?
Actually, I was playing GTA 4 the other night on the 360, and I got a message from some name I didn't recognize, but I guess I approved him as a friend a while ago, and I opened up the message, and the message was, be my dad, which I really loved.
Wow.
It's funny how there's such a...
Can you talk about the PM that we got, Sean?
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
You
Should
don't
we?
Feel comfortable. What? I don't care.
I'm more worried about the guy.
No, well, I want to hear it.
As good as, maybe even better than be my dad, I opened my PM box on 1UP. And I wanted to say to people, I don't always respond, but I always read everything that people send me. And this one was like, hey, you know, you're really cute. And like, there's just very few, you know, gay people in the industry and stuff. And it's like, here's my AIM name. And like, just hit me up on this thing sometime. And he talked about someone else in the industry who he dated. And so I'm not naming anyone's names. And I was like, oh, dude, I think you might mean the other Sean or something. And then he was like, oh, shit. He's like, yeah, as soon as I hit send, I realized what I had done. I'm like, it's all good.
He never followed up.
That's up there with
people. Because he didn't think you're as cute, Sean.
Apparently. I know. I was like, yeah, I'm like, burn what? I'm not cute? Now I feel all good about myself, man.
No, he likes you.
Fucking tore me down. He wasn't talking about me.
Oh, was he? Because maybe he thought you were the gay one.
No, he knew who he was.
Oh, he knew.
It was a total mistake. Like when he put the because it's GFW Sean, so you can imagine you just type that in real quick.
So he was like, "Oh shit, Sean Elliott."
Yeah,
yeah, that guy's a goon.
And
oh well,
I don't know why I said that. I didn't out anyone. No, I didn't say his name.
But now people know that there's somebody out there.
Not that he would care anyway. It's an honest mistake, you know.
Right,
but I mean.
Yeah,
never got the follow up.
We'd all do that, Sean.
Maybe he was embarrassed and wouldn't write you after Sean fucked up your chance.
The be my dad thing is good though. I like that because have I ever done that, Anthony? Like I just randomly ask people, like in Venn or something, like, do you ever wish you could be your dad? When you're talking about, it doesn't matter. You're talking about the most random, like inappropriate thing, and you're like, dude, do you wish that guy could be your dad? Or like,
I have no idea what you're talking
about. This podcast.
I'm sorry. Or like, I'm also like, if we're driving by the street and there's just some guy walking by, you roll down the window and you're like, I love you, Dad.
I took it away as like, this old dude's playing this game. My dad would never do that.
Yeah.
Be my dad.
Add a D-Y to the end of that and it changes the context.
Well, that's a whole different thing. I did write back. I just said, LOL, that's kind of creepy. No. And he said, I'll pay you.
I'm exactly sure. I'm sure that that's exactly how he meant it, though.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks at you. It's like...
Yeah.
Right. And then the very next night, I got one that said... I was also playing GTA, and I got one that said, I love Jeff in a non-sexual way. So, they're nice.
There's
I do not... I've railed on this before. I don't like the messaging coming up in the middle of games on Xbox Live.
It's
really annoying.
I've seen that one 1UP profile that the name is... I sent you a link, Jeff. It was like the profile name from 1UP user. I slept with Jeff Green. That is the profile's name.
Yeah, I know.
Wow. And they just have Jeff's picture.
I keep wanting to know who that is. I'm like, did I? Are you cute?
You're not part of this person's identity.
Right.
You've kind of got the market cornered and being like one of the only people like writing about games as, you know, having like a family and being a grown up and writing about the ridiculousness of being like super into games and simultaneously supposedly being a responsible person.
That's my niche.
So no, but it's cool. I mean, like as I get older, like I want to read stuff like that, not about, you know, the teenage
The thing is, we're all going to be. I'm just a little bit ahead of you guys.
Yeah, no.
But that's what I'm hoping. I'm alive when that happens. When the world is just full of people who are gaming their whole life and their kids are gaming, and it'll be a beautiful thing to see. And please, God, let me live for that day. I'm really waiting for it. We need all those other people to die off.
We're halfway there when we're talking about popsicle sticks and track and field. I mean, there's like a large portion of our audience who has no idea what
the
hell we're talking
about. Don't you think it's going to be such a better world when there's no fucking dillweed on TV or running for office that's going, these video games. You know, it's like the same thing with TV now. There's going to be a day when none of those fuckers are going to be alive anymore, and I can't wait for it. Die, all of you old people. Die.
Or when it's saying that about us, though, for people who hate on anime and like who listen to music that isn't a soundtrack for like
Japanese
RPG.
Our day will come. I know. There will be a day when I'm no longer
person isn't a furry.
There will be a day when I'm not wanted anymore, and I'll probably be ready to go.
What I'm ready for,
I'll be ready to sail off to the gray haven. Yes.
What I'm ready for is the day when it's no longer cool to pretend that you don't like games or to be like a total, you know, totally ignorant of games. Like, I hate that every time I read some like young hip thing saying, you know, oh, I don't play video games. Like, I always read Pitchfork Media's like list review with bands.
Yeah.
And I always immediately just go down to where they ask them what game they're playing because I want to see what they say. 90% of the time they're like, either they're like, I like Pac-Man. Or they're like, I don't play games.
I don't have time for
people
that.
Still say the fuck it, you know. Up, man. You know, like what a retard you look like when you say
EGM
that.
Had the series of celebrity interviews because it would always be like, oh yeah, I played Pac-Man when I was a kid, or it'd be like, I play GTA and I just like to. I don't play the missions. I just like to drive around and run into stuff.
Yeah. I did read
every time that would be the extent.
Last week's Entertainment Weekly had a 2-page profile of Josh Groban. You know who that guy is?
No.
Yeah.
Josh Groban. He's
gone on about his Amazon reviews before.
It's a concert piece.
Yeah, I've read his Amazon
review.
If you ever really want a good time, go to Amazon.com and read reviews of Josh Groban stuff. Haven't I talked about this on the podcast before?
Yes.
The Grobanites, right? So he's just, you just want to hate him without ever having heard his music, and then when you hear it, then you really hate him. But because he's like in his 20s and he's like this baritone, like he sings this like pop opera crap, whatever. Anyway, he's
pop-ra.
Just, and the first sign that he was cool is when he showed up on that, the I Fucked Matt Damon thing. Or it was the sequel. The I Fucked, what was it? What was
I'm Fucking Matt Damon.
Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck.
The other one. Yeah, that one. Anyway, so in the New Entertainment Weekly, there's a 2-page profile of him, and he goes on and on about GTA.
Well, it's like a...
In a non-lame way. Like, you can tell he's really playing it.
It's like a Vin Diesel, when all my friends found out that he, like... You know, he was on like the Conan O'Brien show talking about how he's like a huge D&D player.
He's
has
a
always
big geek.
Been.
Yeah.
Like, and that's why he like worked on that Chronicles of Riddick game.
That's right.
Super important to him because he loves playing video games all the time.
Yeah.
It's like people latch on to famous people like that who don't just blow it off.
Vin Diesel was a great one to have on our side too because he's a big dude, you know.
Yeah.
He's not a nerdy, you know.
I've wanted to interview Robin Williams, like, say what you want about his comedy and performance and stuff, but just as a gamer for the longest time, and I actually did, like, I was trying to, this would be, like, my score, like, I was trying to get it for, you know, when we were at GFW, because he's, like, you know, he was always at the E3 Spore things. I heard that he plays Battlefield, he named one of his kids after The Legend of Zelda, and it's like...
Did he really?
That's the name? Legend of Zelda?
No.
It's a Triforce of Wisdom.
L-O-Z, get in here!
I mean, Zelda. But, I mean, yeah, like... So people like that are like actually, I mean, you don't talk to them about like,
right,
it's like a celebrity game.
I don't know why
like
no one's picked up no one's picked up the Patch Adams license for a game.
I saw an interview with the guy that, do you guys know Arrested Development at all?
Yeah.
The guy that played Job. who was extremely funny. You know, the magician character?
Yeah.
Will Arnett?
Will Arnett. Yeah, he was on Conan O'Brien, like, yammering on for, like, 5 minutes about being addicted to playing multiplayer Call of Duty 4. Mm-hmm. And, like, wearing the headset and his wife, like, making fun of him all the time. And I was sort of surprised by that.
John Stewart, a gamer.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
Yeah, he's actually, I love that.
He's in the Second Life.
John Stewart's in the Second Life? Oh, God, what does that reveal about him? Do you think he ever gets busted?
Are you being serious?
No, I think he's kidding.
Because they had that Second Life skit on there.
Oh,
they had a good GTA one, too. Did you see that? The guy reporting from live in Liberty City.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny.
Celebrities play games,
too. That was awesome. Remember that?
Yes.
Yeah. Do they blow their noses? Yeah, we're basically engaged in the male version of,
it's
like,
the Chris Farley show,
like,
here.
OK Magazine, like, or people, celebrities. They're just like us. And then it's like them with no fucking makeup on. Just
carrying dog
a latte.
Poop.
Yeah. They play games, too. See, we're validated now.
But the difference,
must be cool.
If we were willing to buy a magazine full of pictures of celebrities playing video games, then we would be at that rock bottom point of a...
I might do that.
Like an entire magazine.
But the version for us would be to prove, like, screen caps of their gamer scores and stuff to prove that they suck. So, like, for the woman to prove that, like, Cameron Diaz has got, like, zits now and then, or is, like, you know, when that she has makeup on when she does films.
I bet if there was
they suck. I'd fuck kick that guy's ass at Call of Duty.
If there was a magazine of the cast from Lost playing video games, Ryan would buy it. If there was, like, a photo spread of, like, Locke playing Warcraft.
6 Halo achievements, whatever.
That'd be pretty rad.
What if Locke had a huge collection of LucasArts adventure games?
What if it was a smoke monster playing World of Warcraft?
See, you'd buy that. Locke is a gamer, isn't he? Don't you think?
What class would the smoke monster play?
What?
don't move on.
That's what we could do. What class would each Lost character play in WoW?
Whoa.
How about we don't do
that? Shot's like, get me the fuck out of here.
This look of incredible disapproval.
We didn't even finish the E3 week thing.
So to finish the EA thing, there's Dead Space, which I was really looking forward to seeing, but I didn't get to see it, and then it doesn't matter because it's embargoed.
1 hour tangent.
Awesome.
But I did want to point this out. Maybe one of you will name him. The character's, the hero's costume, his, like, space armor, is totally pulled from this Jack Kirby-created Thor villain. I'm trying to remember who he was.
Jeez.
Ryan,
I'm looking at this.
And I'll post it. I'll have to post a picture of it on our little blog or something.
How are you with your Thor?
But it's a cool. It's a great place to draw inspiration from, though. Anyway, no, you don't have a name, Ryan.
Was that it from EA?
Don't know Marvel.
What else we see?
EA had a pretty.
They did not show Spore.
They had a cool video to introduce their show.
No,
that was my favorite part.
They really didn't.
Well, I don't remember.
I like the graphics on that.
Yeah,
they were
I'm
compelling.
Being facetious when I say it.
No, I liked the typeface.
What was this? I forgot it.
It was just one of those standard waste of time, 15-minute montages with really fast
of why
music.
You should love
video.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, so you're talking
with,
about the presentation
with some
itself.
Catch line, you know, some it's in the game thing, or
I wish
you know,
we could get
we're ready to play.
Beat of that,
you know, one of those.
and also,
all right, didn't that look great? Yeah.
The bullshit like revolutionary like screen print of a bunch of fists pointing up together at an EA logo. Viva la bullshit. Like, you know, the fuck was that?
We're rebels. It's not a game publisher. It's a movement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
TM.
So I guess we could move on to, you guys have been.
We should talk about the Microsoft event.
I heard their show, like, what, Banjo-Kazooie or something? Was that
Banjo?
No. Actually, we weren't there. We weren't at Microsoft.
I heard good things about Banjo-Kazooie, even though NeoGAF was like going absolutely fucking bonkers about it. But
like, in a good way or bad?
I heard that the vehicle creation stuff was really fun.
Nick liked it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Nick likes everything. He's the Mikey of video games.
Nick, I like everything, but Nick hates Rare games. Like he has not liked a Rare game. He hated the original.
Nick
Banjo
doesn't like Rare games.
No,
I don't want to. I don't want to insult that.
Really
I take it back. But there's
rare
like
games
we just
anyway.
You know how some people
love
just have
pinata.
Very different.
Yeah,
takes
that's
on me, games
man. With.
I fucking love like the stupid games, and then I love the hardcore shooters, and I love RTS, love MMOs.
So you're a big
you
Rare
love
fan.
Everything.
But there's a difference between like I mean I was telling you I was playing Smarty Pants like yesterday I was playing
Dude,
Smarty,
I like Smarty
Pants,
too.
My
it's
Word Coach,
game.
And Boom Blocks, and a bunch of you know, stuff like that. But it's like, I don't, it doesn't mean I think every single one of them is the greatest thing I've ever.
Well, I'm liking Boombox. We haven't really talked about that on GFW Radio.
We could talk about Robertson playing it.
I like it. How are you guys at the shooting gallery stuff?
Man, fuck that.
That's tell me about it.
Like, why, how many Wii games do you need where it's a fake light gun thing? No, like, when, what does it even have to do with the theme of blocks?
It doesn't. That level.
Like, they just those throw are it in. It's like.
You're saying that you don't like the levels where you have to throw the
baseballs? No. I'm talking about the things that are shooting straight gallery. Up just shooting. It's like, it's just light gun.
Oh, I haven't gotten that far.
This it makes no sense. It comes levels, out of nowhere.
I need you, yeah.
This is a case of a game where less would have been more, in my case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, why padded bother? It with crap that shouldn't be there that you kind of have to do. It's like get through stuff. It's like,
I haven't beaten the first
whole
section. So the one where you need like 900 points or something, I'm getting like half that many.
I was really disappointed when because I was playing with a friend and we got to this point where it was like a bunch of that stuff. And we're like, God, turn this off. Let's play Grand Theft Auto.
And even like on a smaller scale, like the puzzles where you're protecting a castle, but that all that means is throwing shit at, again, it's basically, you know, throwing shit at monkeys.
Although that's funner. That's more fun with two people. Like you can play the castle game with two people and it's like you get a limited number of shots and you're trying to see who can.
We're not talking about that.
Oh, okay.
You're talking about where you're actually throwing blocks to destroy a castle.
He's talking about where you're protecting gems from guys that are trying to take them and you're just basically blowing them.
You don't want to hit the castle at all. Instead, you want to just hit the guys walking around the screen, and at that point, it's basically another Leica game, with the difference being that you make a throwing motion to shoot.
Yeah.
There's some excellent stuff in this game.
Yeah.
There really is great stuff.
The thing I think that's the most disappointing about that game is like the Wii's online sucks so bad that like no one's really going to take advantage of the fact that you can create levels and share them with your friends and stuff like that.
You don't think that's something that could over time may grow or.
I hope so, but I don't know.
I'll never use it. I mean, even if it was like a great system, I doubt I would ever download it.
I'd rather just have something that let me like just download a selection of stuff. Like, it would be cool if you could if the people who like to build levels could just upload them
and then you could go just download
like a random assortment of stuff. Because then it, you know, that would make sense.
Well, that could happen, couldn't it?
It would be good because it needs more. I got around to, you know, playing the multiplayer part that everyone was saying like, oh no, wait, you can't talk. You haven't played the multiplayer. So I got to that, and it's like there aren't that many. You know, puzzles and things, and like it would be awesome if what you were saying was available to just go and get people's stuff, you know?
Yeah, because I really like the Jenga thing. That's
that's
the cool
fun.
Thing. You know what's annoying to me? I only like the color Jenga one because when you play the regular one, there's no incentive to, I mean, other than, you know, to take a high risk maneuver and pull from the bottom. Otherwise, you just like keep doing all these pissant moves from the top. And so what I was thinking is like you should get more points for pulling for riskier tugs, you know, for going to the bottom.
That's a good point.
And so they kind of have that with the colored things, but not quite. It just gives you a restriction on the type you could pull. Mm-hmm. And then in addition, I wanted like even so I went to options hoping I could do all this. Can I have that? Can I set a timer? Because then. It could take an awful long time, of course. If people are being super cautious and pulling from the top of the stack, you can't put a timer on. And, I mean, little things like that, it wouldn't have taken very long at all to put in the options menu.
Thing is how do you get gold on that? Because most of the time I find that they do make it more challenging by, like, giving the ranks. So on that, what you're saying,
no,
how do you get gold?
No, in a straight, you don't get gold at all. What happens is you get 5 points for every pull you make, and you lose a point for every block you didn't attempt to pull that touch it that falls to the ground. Mm. So there's no, like, you're not pulling.
This is multiplayer. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a different setup.
I enjoyed the one where you try to knock down a certain amount of point, like the one where you knock down what you can, and then the point blocks all fall. And however many you collect.
Oh, yeah.
That one is the one I had the most fun with multiplayer. Did you play that one?
I did, but I want to make sure we're talking about the same one. There's a bunch of point blocks, and you knock them into fields that are worth, like, multipliers.
No, that's like the shuffleboard kind of game. I like that, too, but
that
she's talking about...
Wouldn't that be cool if you could just grab it instead and then flick it like a shuffleboard?
Instead of having to hit instead it with a...
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be nice.
This one is just purely whatever you knock off it. Is added to your score.
Right. Okay, I see. Those
without you don't have to hit anything specific.
Yeah,
it's just whatever
I like those. Those
that
are cool.
Way fun.
Those are pretty fun.
Yeah, and I like those better than, like, I don't know, maybe because I'm prone to, like, perfectionism in games. I get really compulsive about that one that you play single player where you're trying to knock down all the blocks at once, and you get a gold if you do it in
one go. Yeah.
That's how I play. That's my favorite.
I'll just sit there and do it over and over again, and I'm like, motherfucker.
I don't consider myself a winner until I get the one, the one hit. And it's fun to just find that like one spot that knocks the whole thing, that makes the chain reaction happen.
That would be another thing that would be great for multiplayer. If it had a split screen and you basically took turns, you each had three balls, and then you see, and it presents those exact same levels that you're talking about where you can possibly get it in a single one or in two or three. I mean, like, I was like hoping for that. I ended up kind of liking some of the levels on the single player more than the multiplayer one.
Yeah. I do have to say, not to talk about my kid again, but I did play Boom Blocks with her a while ago, and she took this was just like a great commercial for school for getting edumacated. She took a physics class this year, and I was playing with her, and there were a few of those points where I was trying to get the one hit, and I didn't know what to do. And she was actually looking at the screen and figuring it out from physics and explaining to me why it would work.
Wait, how old's your daughter?
She's 14.
She's in eighth grade, and she's taking physics?
Yeah, she took some, like, advanced thing.
I was taking a class called reading.
Yeah, I know. me too. She got her mom's brain. For me, she knows how to play WoW.
She needs to start extorting her neighbors.
So did her methods work?
Yes, like, they worked. Wow. I mean, I was like, you're smart.
She's going to be an engineer something.
Yeah, it was incredible. It blew me away. And then she would say, like, yeah, Dad, it's because the negative space created by the blah, blah. I'm like, nerd.
You're like, whatever, nerd. And thanks then I for laughed the hot at tip.
Oh, nerd.
It's not like, I mean,
see if any girls like you.
Huh?
I mean, a lot of it's just like an intuitive type of physics
well,
as well.
Sure, that's, I think, know.
Like, comes hardwired
no, she wasn't
in the human mind.
Applying, you know.
Who knows? Maybe she does see, like,
I'm not down.
Saying
marks
she's not smart, but I'm saying that.
No, I know it. Yeah, it's.
But here's the thing, though. If she becomes a physicist, be wary of. You have cases like my old roommate, who was not coincidentally very into. I mean, not roommate, but guy on the same floor of the dorms, was way into Magic the Gathering. But when someone jumped from our 12-story dorm, killed himself that year. He ran. Everyone's downstairs freaking out. They told everyone to, like, you know, leave the building. And the first thing he does is like. He's like, I got to go back up. And they're like, why? To get his, like, algorithm calculator so he could, like, work out all these equations that had to do with this guy's.
He wanted to know totally if he had reached terminal velocity.
Yeah, he wasn't laughing or anything. He was just like, he wanted to.
All right, I'm not going to equate her with that.
Or like Oppenheimer trying to poison his professors. And
I don't think you have to actually be, like, an emotionless, you know, math-obsessed person to get into physics, eh?
No.
Yeah.
Hey, he had emotions, man.
I liked physics.
Curiosity. Wait, that's not an emotion. I'm feeling very curious.
She's Schadenfreude her.
So I think we can't. I think we can't talk about any of the other ones yet, right? Because
Mass Effect, but that's kind of played. What can we say about Mass Effect? IDA.
Nothing. Yeah. Next. Just joking.
The PC one has way better frame rate.
Yeah,
it looks
load
times.
Load times are way better. It has fully customizable, like, button layout.
Yeah, that's right.
You can control your squad members individually, but you can't take direct control of them. That would be the step that I'm still.
Isn't there like a tactical map too, or overlay, or something?
It's
like
just
that?
It's just the interface is better.
Oh,
it just gives you more options,
additional missions, and
all they're doing is they're letting you download the Bring Down the Sky add-on pack that they had for 360 on day one for free. Which is a little odd. I've heard two different stories. When they brought it over on Friday, last Friday, to show it, they were like, "Well, we just didn't, you know, we would have had to, like, delay it a little further to actually add it to the retail copy." And then when we were at the EA event, they were like, "Oh, we just wanted to get people to experience what it's like to download content." I buy number one over number two.
Yeah, number two is a spin.
I'm like, one. Not sure. People need to experience what it's like to download content.
Yeah, it's, you know, PC gamers never download content.
Right, never.
Never experience that amazing thing.
I mean, if I could go back in time and not play the 360 version, I would have held out for the PC one. It's improved enough.
Yeah, I didn't touch that game, so maybe I'd enjoy it.
Now's the time. I've been meaning to try it.
Wait for the PC one in a couple of weeks if you're going to try it. Like, what's I wanted to play through. Like, that was a slow burn for me. Like, at first, it took me like 8 hours to convince myself that, like, hey, this actually is good. And then by the time I got to the end, I was like, oh, I should play this again as the bad guy or the good guy, actually, because I had played bad. And I was like, when I heard about the PC one, I'm like, I'll wait for that before I do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Cool.
Cool. I like video games.
Okay, I do too.
So, any other event stuff, or
I think the rest is sort of embargoed now. I think we're caught up to real time here.
Any of us would play anything new or interesting then?
Well, I played Lost Winds.
Yeah, we heard.
I've already talked about it, so
I've been occupied with the same.
Warning:
same
I'm still playing consumer, GTA. So,
consumer warning on My Word Coach, which could be a great game for Wii. I got it for multiplayer.
My Word
Anthony
Coach
was with me when I got it. $49.99.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, and the reason I got it is because they have Ubisoft has this whole series of My Ex Coach. Like, yeah, I actually had like the My French Coach that I was like for last time I was on a plane. I was messing with that. But we got it for because the back of the box makes it look like multiplayer bookworm type games, and that is what I went in hoping to have. And now I was bummed because imagine if you had like Bonnie's Bookstore or like Bookworm and stuff, and it was just on your Wii, it had a split screen, and you just use your Wiimote to like circle the words that you find, and you try to find more than the other person. Great game to play with Melissa. But it's one of those games where you have to unlock all the multiplayer modes and individually. Every type of multiplayer game in there you have to unlock. And it's not like a quick type thing. It's like Ryan was talking about the most like – well, it's like fucking getting the Uber Saw in Team Fortress. I was going to say like getting carts in Mario Kart, but it's probably more like getting the Uber Saw in Team Fortress before you can play multiplayer.
You
so
know what the
that's
Wii,
a big like – fuck. It's going back to the store. Fuck
you
that.
Know what the Wii needs? A game genie.
That's
what it calls for, man. Yeah. It's like, fuck that. And I'm going to put in the game genie code.
I do have to apologize because I said that was like tended to be more typical of Japanese games, but this was made by Ubisoft Montreal. So,
Canadian games too. Wait, not American games.
Wait for My Life Coach.
Yeah.
My Life Coach.
It'll be like some guy coming on the screen and be like, love yourself. Get organized.
Oh, God.
Quit procrastinating.
Take off the fingerless gloves.
We play games to get away from that shit.
Yeah.
Smarty Pants is pretty fun. I recommend that to you guys.
Yeah, good game. I like it a lot. I played it on Facebook.
Wait, but what is
it? Play it with on the Wii with your family.
Yeah.
It's another game show quiz type thing on Wii, but the interesting thing is you put your age in and it will like tune the questions accordingly. So and that way you're not getting like these questions about fucking silent films
and
stuff,
or
conversely
SpongeBob.
About Hannah Montana.
But it'll also adjust if you're really good or really bad at something. So if you like fail at every science question, it'll like take you down to like a 6-year-old.
There's another problem with this. Every time I play these games, they're like, I'm just playing fun for Melissa. It's hard because I want to, like, I know, like, just shut up, just play the game with her. Don't sit here and be a critic. And it's like, I always get angry at like the tiny little things they could have done to improve the game. So like in that one, well, like for, you know, in Boombox we're playing, I was like, God, why can't I put like point values on these, or why can't I just put a timer on it? And this thing, it's like there are whole categories that I would like to go to the options menu and take out. In our case, sports. Neither Melissa or I know the fucking first thing about them. It's like if the question isn't about Michael Jordan, we're just take a guess. We're getting it wrong.
Muhammad Ali is the other one.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. Yeah. Or like, you know, like Bo or something.
I'm right there with you.
If the question isn't, does Bo know true or false?
That was always the last pie I got in Trivial Pursuit.
Yeah, that was always like the obstacle. Like, can you get the
So that would have been one thing I wanted to pull. I can't remember now, but there were a bunch of other little things that would have been. Well, she liked that. That was fair because there's a gaming category. And of course, it has card games and craps and stuff, but it's largely video games. And so that I have a huge advantage there. And I was like, okay, well, then this is – you have the fashion one. But the fashion one's the same
thing. Do you guys argue about this? Because I have played mini golf with Sean and Melissa, and they're the most strangely competitive couple I've ever seen. In my life.
Really?
You guys are into it. They're like writing down the scores. Yeah. Like, I mean, me and Sarah go play mini golf. We're not going to take score. You guys are like, dude, both got your own scorecards, like sharpening your pencils.
We always take score.
If you stop playing,
that was a mulligan.
If you stop caring about your scores in mini golf, you get to the point when you see that 5-year-old kid who's fucking running onto your hole when he shouldn't be. Fucking parents need to rein him in, and he's just basically scooting the ball around with the club. Dude, that's what happens to you. If you stop paying attention to
you're
sport.
You're in a mini golf by place. The fifth
that's
hole.
What they do. You're going to be that kid.
You're a grown up.
And then it's like, why don't you, let's just fuck it. Pick your ball, go down to the hole, and drop it
why
in.
Why don't you go to a real golf course?
But because I don't have enough money and there's not like a par three in the, in, nearby.
But
the other,
there is
the other
a difference.
I
there
would
is
go.
A difference. You guys
company.
Have enthusiasm.
I would gladly go. I do like golf, but I need one of you to go with me.
Yes.
I like mini golf.
They have a really good mini golf place that that we've been to. Wait, Sunnyvale?
That's where we go usually.
That's
mini
not
golf.
Is
go.
That the one? Is it called like Golden Tee or something?
No,
it's Castro Valley.
Golfland.
Golfland.
Oh,
good arcade too.
This place that we were going to is like the most ridiculously well kept mini golf place I've ever seen. Like kind of creepy almost, especially for it being in the Bay Area. Like you kind of expect it to be trashed.
What was our idea when we were there last? We were like, yeah, let's open a mini golf place and we'll have every hole tell a story.
Yeah, no.
And then our whole thing was like, this is basically the equivalent of like if we were to try to when we wonder how we sound when we're talking about games to other people or for their point of view, it's us that when you do this thought experiment, and you're like, okay, let's imagine. If you were to turn a miniature golf course into a narrative somehow. That's what it sounds like when we talk about story to someone who doesn't know about games and they think of like, you know, Pac-Man stuff. And they're like, what the fuck are you guys talking about?
I actually think that's a cool idea. You should do that.
Sure.
No, I wrote a short story about that actually, about a guy who opens up his own mini golf place. It's his ultimate dream to tell the story of this Vietnam vet, like life, his life through a series of 18 mini golf holes.
And the ball. It's like all the it's going in all these traps and shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fucking yeah.
Can you read that on the
kids.
Podcast next week?
Well, I have my own uses for it.
Okay.
But
that's great. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. What was it called? Or
I don't have a title for it yet. It's actually
the
for
balls
another
they
project of mine.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can
the
have
balls they carry. Yeah. That is excellent.
Okay. There awesome. You go. You can I'll have that one for free.
That's rad, dude.
But I mean, I think that's like a good stand-in for just how ridiculous sometimes it is to even think about like trying to tell a story with a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's like so much artifice, such an unwieldy thing. Like you don't look at it and say, you know what? Pac-Man would be so much better if it told a story.
It does.
I was thinking about that today when I was looking at Samba de Amigo for the Wii. I was thinking, watching other people play, I was able to do something I never able to do when I'm playing a rhythm game, which is look at the shit that's going on other than, like, the color lights I got to pay attention to win the game.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look around and they're, oh, wow, there's, like, all these people dancing in the city. There's, like, some whole little mini story going on here with all these people in the city having a festival or whatever, but, like, who are they designing all that for and spending all that time for?
Because
all
you can do for your other friends who are on the couch smoking the bong.
That's all I can do is look at the blue bubbles.
Think
like,
about
whoa.
This.
Yeah.
As John Davison pointed out on one of yours last week, it's like Boom Blocks has got there's, but if you don't hit the skip button, it's trying to tell you a story about like why these bears are attacking.
Why are they getting a castle?
It's basically our mini golf. That's the perfect,
you gotta wonder: like, is there someone on staff there who's like, this is the story they've always wanted to tell? Like, this is their opportunity.
Yeah.
To really...
But really, it doesn't fit because it's just about, I don't care! These cows are saving this kingdom! I wrote the story when I was 10. Now it's going to be made public.
Yeah. So how did we get on this tangent when we
talking
about
this whole podcast? One tangent.
It's kind of what it is. It's one long tangent.
Oh, did anyone? Jeff, you picked it up. I was playing Williams pinball collection for Wii.
I did. Yeah, it's nice.
It's kind of cool how you hold a nunchuck and another thing, and it's like the flippers at least gives you the sense that your hands are spaced apart like they would be on a real pinball machine, and then you shake it to tilt.
Oh, dude, that sounds good.
And even the stick, you use the analog stick, but you pull it back, and it's not just like we're just simply touching it guarantees you're going to, like, you can actually, like, fuck it up and not do it well enough.
Yeah.
I need to explain what I'm talking about. Basically, when you pull the plunger and shoot the ball into the playing field,
right.
Use the analog stick. So you have to, like, pretty much, you have to snap it pretty clean. Otherwise, you won't launch it through. The cameras, like, work really well on it. Talking about a camera in a pinball game, because I guess that's pretty much all important, you know? I mean,
it is important.
When you are playing
sure.
that sort of game.
Are they classic
they're good,
machines
they're good
or are they
machines.
Original machines?
They have a lot that you'll recognize from the pinball arcade we've gone to in Alameda.
Yeah.
So, like, it's like a Gar-Gar or something. It's like some stupid demonic thing. It looks like the kind of tattoo like a metalhead would have in, like, 1981.
Yeah.
But they have that. And then I prefer the stuff like, you know, Funhouse and Whirlwind.
They have
and Taxi.
House.
And then
Funhouse is the shit.
All
see,
those
you
are
know,
in there.
It's funny because these machines
Black
are
Knight.
Another example. example of what we're just talking about.
Yeah,
they all put on this artifice of stories.
Yeah,
exactly.
They totally do.
Exactly. Like, this is,
I don't know. What bumper do I hit?
I'm trying to remember what came up with the mini golf. I was like, there was something that like was on my mind that made me think about it. Because yesterday I was thinking about our golf analogy, and that's why I was playing the pinball games and thinking about the artists and the way that they lay out the table. Like,
but it works. There's some pinball games you can play where there's like a real sense of.
But again, I can't ever get any of that unless I'm watching someone else play.
Yeah,
when I'm playing, I'm not seeing any of that.
Well, Funhouse has something like that. There's the big mannequin head in the middle of the table, and its eyes move, and its mouth opens and stuff, and it's saying all this random shit. Sometimes he's angry with you, and sometimes he's telling you to eat. Have a hot dog! And then you can put him to sleep. And when you put him to sleep, his mouth opens, and you knock the ball into his mouth. You put the balls in his mouth, and then he flips out, and he starts screaming, and he shoots multi-balls out. But there's some kind of a story to this mannequin, this ventriloquist dummy head.
Isn't that game from the late 70s or early 80s?
Yeah.
You know, it's just some like drug-inspired nightmare that someone had.
Some of them are.
We will make a game with the ventriloquist dummy head. It's about inanities.
That should be our homework, is to like go play a pinball game and like try to write the story down.
Yeah.
What is it?
That's great.
The big problem with this thing, though, is that like some of my favorite pinball games will never appear in these collections because they were licensed for the longest time. It was like it was either Twilight Zone or some random ass shit, even like Harley Davidson. And it was like, pinball machines became the equivalent of like what slot machines are now in casinos. It's like you go in and there's a Tabasco slot machine. Like, who's like, dude, that'll get them to spend their money.
Hey, I love Tabasco. Let me put some quarters in that.
But some of those, like the Star Wars one, but it's got Pinbot. Go on, Joe. What do you think about that?
No, the thing for me is that any pinball game that I can play on any video game system basically makes me happy because I just have that like childhood thing, and maybe you guys have it with video games being a little younger than me, but like because I can never play enough because of the money limitations. So I always was stressed out about pinball all the time. I only had so many dollars I could spend.
That
and
also
like my mom wouldn't give me any more.
Nowadays.
So every game was like fucking important.
Yeah.
You know? It made it fun.
And now
though.
I can like, new game again.
Yeah.
Yay.
Oh, yeah, we totally
fuck you,
that.
Mom.
Yeah.
It totally made it fun in the same way that having a single Nilla wafer made the Nilla wafer good in daycare. Whereas if you had a box, if you buy a
like,
box
oh,
of
this
them
shit's
now,
nasty.
It's just a lot of diminishing returns in the same way that, like it is as much as I enjoyed on Wii, it's never as fun as when I knew my dad gave me three quarters and you go spend them how you want. Like, because then you're like, you actually care if the ball goes down the gutter.
I remember that for Street Fighter, because I would take my lunch money, I would skip lunch every day, come home, eat like two bowls of cereal because I was a fatty. And go to Stop and Go and spend my lunch money on Street Fighter. And it was like, all right, you know, is it going to be over in 30 minutes or am I going to get like 2 hours out of this? And you know, like this guy walks through that you know is a total badass and you're like, oh, God damn it, I'm going to lose all my money.
For me, it was like the Double Dragon kind of games, which you knew had a discrete ending, but you knew you had $3 or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, okay, can I get past level 4 this time? Fuck, I didn't get it. Oh, that damn Abobo.
Both of those, the fighting game thing with the equivalent of a wager on it did. You know, it did increase the tension because it's not like you're just playing for like your rep. I mean, you're actually you'd have to leave, man. You'd be out of mind. Yeah. Either that, or you'd be the kid who sits there pretending he's playing the track screen until some bigger kid comes by and asks you to fucking move so he can play.
Nowadays, Jeff, you should despoil yourself. My dad just recently bought a Superman pinball table.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
He just has it at his house.
Nice.
He plays it all he wants.
It's high maintenance though.
No.
Changing rubber bands and springs.
It doesn't have to get changed that often. He took it to a guy that's all he does is fix his old pinball tables.
Wow.
Had him fix it up. The guy even redid all the Superman artwork in it by hand.
Oh, my God.
Do you think he ever, nice.
Very cool.
Do you think he ever tried to, like, tell your mom that they needed to have sex on the machine?
What the hell?
That's out of line, man.
Tilt.
My dad.
Just think of like how like I just imagine like someone's dad with like a Hessian like pinball machine like Gargon or whatever it was.
It's not
like,
a Lamborghini.
He's like, you know what? He's like, honey. He's like, you know, when I was a teenager, I always had this dream.
Dude, I don't want to think about.
Well, those
my
dreams.
You were conceived on that thing, man.
Those dreams are often splayed across the table itself. I mean, how many pinball
machines
have like women? You know.
Yeah.
that Alameda pinball place is just full of all these pinball machines from the 60s and 70s that's just
bikini,
you know, hot
babes,
women
yeah.
with like really gross looking painted faces.
That would be rad. Imagine if there was like a combination of, like, you know how they have the beat off booths at some porn places where it's just a video screen. What if you go into the little black closet and it's just a pinball machine and you fucking close the door behind you and you play pinball away?
What if?
What if, John? You definitely need two hands to play pinball.
Well, that's why
they invented the double flippers, both left and right flippers control on the left side of the game or the right.
They did?
In these booths that I invented, they do.
I was actually picturing it being more like a regular pinball machine with a built-in fleshlight.
Oh.
So, for the coin slot?
No.
Oh, dude.
We've reached a new low
with
this.
Yeah, we have.
Wow. Well, so have you guys ever played Earthshaker? that's a pinball machine that I really enjoyed.
It sounds like the Whirlwind series.
It's actually kind of like creepy. In that it was made in the 80s and it's about a giant California earthquake.
I remember. Yeah, I remember this.
The board thing. Like while you're playing, you'll hit something that'll make an earthquake happen, and depending on like how powerful the earthquake was, it'll like mess a bunch of stuff up on the board, and like, you know,
that's kind
of
neat.
It's really cool.
And for those people, the purists who like the really old machines when there's nothing but there's like three bumpers and a bunch of fucking empty space and like a pornographic picture underneath.
Like, I'm raising my hand over there.
I like the late ones. Right before, like, pinball industry just completely tanked, where they were just ridiculously convoluted mousetraps, but for that reason it was interesting. In the same way that, like, any kind of bizarre engineering
I like that, too, but it was the next step when they felt where they had to compete with the video game machines.
And they
that's when they lost it to me.
Like Star Wars Episode 1 pinball.
Yeah, and they started throwing, you know, digital shit in there.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Some of that was okay in my opinion.
Well, not to me, but that's because I was...
Like, there would be just, like, a really rudimentary MIDI game that would happen on the LCD thing up top
like
now and then.
Yeah, like a Starfighter battle.
Because it wasn't, like, competing with the games. It was still so, like, hokey, and the technology was so...
Remember Baby Pac-Man, though? Where there's a pinball machine on the bottom. And then once you got into a certain spate, you went into the top screen.
Oh, yeah.
Like Pac-Man.
That was
kind of
cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
There was also Terminator 2 had that thing where you could get the one, like, bonus section where, like, suddenly you'd have to look up, and on the really crappy lo-fi LCD monocolor screen, you would use the gun to shoot, like, Terminator robots coming at you. I always liked that, you know?
Dude, that reminds... Now we're just doing random memories, but the fucking... Remember, like, that game Operation Wolf and that whole, like, genre of arcade shooter, and they had the Terminator 2
Judgment
Day?
And then there was what about the Aerosmith one? Did you guys...
Let's not talk about that. Well, let's talk about it, but let's just know that it's painful to remember that we actually put money into that.
Not me.
I always loved shooting games. I'm actually a total badass at marksmanship shooting games. Like, no one in this building can beat me at marksmanship shooting games.
What about the really old ones where, like, they had, like, the haunted house theme one, and it was, like, fucking creepy executioners
Beast Buster? Beast Buster? Is that what you're talking about?
I don't even remember the name. It was, like, really, really stilted graphics and shit. And even before that, like, when you go to the Arcade Expo, they had ones where they were almost, like, miniature shooting galleries, like the kind that you'll go, like, if you go to some family fun center and it's just basically a light gun-based thing, but they would be, like, housed inside of a glass, and it would actually be below,
like,
and it would be a
game.
Mirror back there, so that's where they could have all this depth to it down there without the
or
machine
like
being 14 feet long.
Or, like, Skeet Shoot. Remember Skeet Shoot? It was, like, a projector, and it would just show
this
beam of light on
Chuck
the screen,
Jesus.
And you'd
Chuck
have to shoot
had that.
That was awesome, man.
Yeah, that was really, like, not very forgiving. Like, you would just try to shoot over and over again. It was really hard. You're like, I'm aiming at it. But, yeah.
I never felt compelled to play that one.
Did I really just criticize Skeet Shooting?
Yeah, you did.
Wow.
8 out of 10.
Imagine if you were doing reviews back then, like going to Chuck E. Cheese.
Reviewing those.
I would have been a very different person.
Part of the review is like the cabinet art. You gotta like
Chuck E. Cheese exists. It is not the same as it was.
And you're not allowed to go.
More serious now?
It's all redemption.
You're not allowed to go in Chuck E. Cheese if you're over the age of like 15 and you don't
Unless
have a child
have a kid,
with you.
Yeah.
Man, no more dates for me.
For our younger listeners, Chuck E. Cheese that you know, the Chuck E. Cheese's that our younger listeners know now are like just the saddest shadow of what they used to be. The one in El Cajon, San Diego that I went to as a kid was enormous. They would have like the dining area was just this like you know, auditorium-sized thing with the big animatronic show going on. And then you would crawl in this mouse hole underneath that, right underneath the stage, go through this, like, carpeted maze on the interior and behind the animatronics, end up on some slide that would take you down into, you know, some other areas and stuff. And then there was, like, games. That was where to go when you wanted to see all the cutting-edge games that would appear on that, like, TV game show that they had way back in the day. And you'd be like, oh, shit, there's a game called Crawl. Then you go to Chuck E. Cheese to find it. But
Chuck E. Cheese
now it's
like
all
the
redemption shit. It's like, can you drop a coin in here to get more coins out?
My boyfriend used to work in the kitchen of an Olive Garden that overlooked a Chuck E. Cheese animatronic graveyard. So there'd just be like lots of, like, they'd put Chuck E. Cheese's there, and he'd slowly over the days watch the skin rot off, and then you'd have the skeleton underneath.
I wonder if that guy on the YouTube who makes the YouTubes of his, like, showbiz pizza.
That stuff is
amazing.
That's like where he does like a band, like, playing songs.
And he like, puts all this love into it, and they're playing like nasty, like, hip hop club songs and shit.
I would go see a live version of that. Like, if he toured the country, I would go
see his animatronic.
Yeah,
band.
I would go see that band. Like, I would pay $15-$20 to see that.
You'd have to get blazed though.
I would.
Not that we endorse such behavior.
I would totally be there with you.
Blaze means enthused.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're on the map with your lingo of today.
That's the new lingo.
That's the new lingo?
Okay. Yeah. I like to get really enthusiastic.
Take the Crystal Cruiser and the Crank Caravan.
Yeah.
I drink some Gatorade.
The Tweaker Toboggan. And
Chuck E. Cheese back in the day, though, was like the place where you would just dream about going. It's like you got to go, like, at least for me, I got to go like a couple of times a
birthdays,
year, maybe.
Yeah.
Report card day. Always brought
that
the
report
card.
So
imagine
never
your parents sitting in that place. Well, maybe my dad was into stuff. It's like, yeah, your poor mom sits there. She's got to try to round up like one of your friend's moms, and they sit there and... Whatever.
Yeah, although I remember Chuck E. Cheese, like, the adults could order beer back in the day. Like, they could actually sit around and, like, have some pizza or
beer. Yeah, they could enjoy themselves.
Like, good pizza.
Listen to Beatles songs played by animatronic puppets.
They had the fake-ass Elvis dog, too.
Oh,
remember
him?
He had his own room. So that was the other thing. They would have separate dining rooms dedicated just to these ones, like the Elvis dog, and then they had some other thing that had its own room.
God. You got to know, like, who were the mechanics working on these things all the time? You know that Chuck E. Cheese showbiz would have to have, like, you know, a couple, three mechanics just working on all this stuff all the time.
I believe they're called Imagineers.
Imagineers.
Oh, wait, that's Disney.
It's also the only place to go to play, like, the Laserdisc games, like, Cobra Command, the sit-down one. Yeah. Or, yeah, like, the sit-down versions of, like, Red Baron and stuff like, you know, Star Wars.
Excellent.
Yeah. Nostalgia on that.
Ah, the past. Ah, yeah. Things were better back then.
I remember when I used to be a kid and I wanted to work at a video game magazine.
What happened to your dream?
Stop there.
That's it.
That's it. We're done. It's time to go.
We're done. We've been here a long time. We podcasted a long time.
Yeah, almost 2 hours.
Over 2 hours.
Over two. Hours.
I think we've got through the first item on our agenda, which is to talk about the pre-E3 stuff.
Yeah.
Were there any other items? We'll do them next week.
We don't have time for items.
Okay. We didn't even take a break.
It was that fun.
It was that fun.
I've had
fun.
To pee for like an hour and a half, too.
You have?
Yeah, I got to go pee, too.
Okay. Wow.
Right. Let's take it out on this ad. This ad in the magazine, and it's for SpectreSoft PC and internet monitoring software, and it promises to record everything your employees do on the internet. Down below, you got these guilty ass looking people.
Mm-hmm. They look like bad people.
There's like a white dude, and he says he passes company secrets via the web. Asian guy in the middle who surfs porn websites from inside his cubicle, and a woman who shops online after closing her office door.
But bad people.
It was funny to me that they had
more stereotypical.
That they had that they had the Asian dude surfing porn from his cubicle because the Wilt Chamberlain of internet porn surfing was just outed on a newscast last week, and he had I forget the number, but he had it was like 100,000 porn clicks a day at his office.
What?
Or something. It was just some inconceivable number where they had to actually break it down and see that it was just like hundreds in any given minute that he was clicking through. So on that note, we're out. Make sure you know what your company's employees are doing. They could be recording this podcast.